Welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. This is episode 18, Rocking the Hashtag.
Like Charlie Chaplin.
Anyway, tonight it's just going to be Justin and I, as you will find out why here in a little bit. We're going to be talking about some Dead Space 2, some Two Worlds 2 again, some DLC content, and a lot of news and a lot of fun. So, stick around to hear about strangling Pluto as you ejaculate. Alright, and welcome back to our new episode. Across from me, I have Justin.
Hey, what's up?
What was I going to call you?
I don't know.
We were standing outside of Best Buy, and we were talking, and you had said something to me about a nickname.
Did I say something about a nickname?
Yeah, you were talking about a nickname that you used to have. I don't know. We'll just call you Paul Bunyan for right now. You still haven't shaved.
No, I trimmed.
Doesn't show.
Yeah, it does.
Dude, I mean, stuff like flaring out at the bottom right there.
It's not as bad. I trimmed a good 3 inches off here. I was having to compact it close to my face.
Not really.
I put a little bit of wax in it and then like push it down. It was pretty interesting.
Nice. Three inches is a lot to you, isn't it?
3 inches off my beard is a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Off my man bush.
Off my nut beard.
You know what we probably should mention?
What's that?
I know.
We're going to get to that. I got a way of doing that.
Don't worry.
And to my left, I have Holly.
Hi.
Okay. And then to my right, I have Andrew.
Hi.
So they're not here tonight because we are covered in snow.
Yeah, and the fans will think this is kind of funny, but me and Trent are roommates. So
dun. We have separate rooms.
We do have separate rooms on opposite sides of the apartment.
In fact, my woman is sitting like 3 feet away from me right now.
Reaffirmation.
On her phone. Bored out of her mind as we do this.
But yeah, it's snowmageddon outside. I mean, what is it? It's a good 14 inches of snow in our parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say about that, man. Actually, I was looking at online, my friend Jack Basatsu, he lives closer to downtown, and his the snow has gone all the way to his roof on his car.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a drift.
Yeah, it probably was a drift, but still, that was a pretty big fucking drift. So.
Well, my point is, though, is just it's undrivable. I drive a Honda, and so it's pretty hard to maneuver.
You drive a vagina on wheels.
It's a earth-saving vagina.
Yeah.
But, no, it's actually very low to the ground, so it's really hard to maneuver.
So your vagina goes low to the ground.
Like a scoop.
Like a scoop.
I don't know where that came from.
It's kind of like a slug thing, you know, let you know where I've been.
Well, it's just that I've been homebound now for 2 days, and it's been really sucking because I'm missing a lot of work for this.
Yeah, you've missed like 20 hours in the last 2 days, right?
Something like that, yeah. It's going to hurt my paycheck.
I told you to take a cab, man. Make the cabbie have to worry about it.
I don't know. I don't want to die on the road with a strange man.
With a strange man?
Yeah.
Speaking a foreign language.
I don't know if it's, well, around here they don't speak a foreign language. It's just the southerner.
No. It's like, no, I love it because every cab ride I've had have been relatives. Basically, yeah, I don't know what it is. Every cab I get, the guy's from usually Punjabi.
Does he ask you if you speak Punjabi?
No. But I get in the car and I'll sit there and I'll ask, hey, where are you from? And he's like, oh, from Punjabi. And I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, my dad's from there. It's like, oh, there. So he treats me nice. So they'll let me smoke. Yeah, I guess most cabbies won't just smoke nowadays. But now, yeah, off that, so we have really horrible transportation problems here in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
they
shut down the transit system here in town, actually.
Well, our apartment office has been closed for 2 days. And I called them today, and I didn't know they were closed for 2 days. And I was just like, I called the apartments, and I was like, yeah, when are you guys going to get the snow plow out here like you usually do? You know, and the lady's like, they've been closed for 2 days. I have no idea. They haven't said anything. And I'm like, you know, we can't get out of here. We can't pay our rent if we can't get to the store to get a money order because you guys don't take credit cards right now, which really sucks. So what the fuck? She's like, well, I was like, are we going to get an extension? She's like, yeah, probably. And I was like, that's not good enough. I need a yes.
Well, I need to be able to make it to work so I make money for this month.
Yes, because you're going to PAX next month, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to PAX, and I got the T-shirt orders got to come up with, and it's going to be a very, very expensive 2 months here.
Yeah, plus hookers, Boston hookers.
Well, you know, there's a beer fest going on while we're up there. Oh, so for God. All these people that about PAX East. There's a...
it's another good reason I'm not going.
No, no. There's an actual, like, brewery, like, yeah. I don't know if it's competition, but just like a festival.
It's a hop-off.
Yeah, like called. A hop-off, yeah. So there's going to be all sorts of beer and stuff up there, and it's like not that far from our hotel, actually.
Like I said, another good reason I'm not going, because I would hate to get shit-faced drunk and make an ass out of myself in Boston. So
I don't mind.
I do, because I don't know Boston that well. I don't want to, like, get really shitty drunk and just look up and mysteriously not know where the fuck I am and everybody's gone.
It's a very Irish city.
That's another reason. I don't want to get shit-faced
drunk. I got a little
drunk.
Irish in me. So does Andrew, so, I mean, it ought to work out.
Do you put a little Irish in each other?
We will in our drinks.
I'm sure. Okay, anyways. So tonight it's just me and just Justin and I, to be grammatically correct. And, well.
It's been a really interesting week for releases, hasn't it?
Trent, what have you been playing? Well, I played some Dead Space Ignition.
Oh, yeah?
Not because it's enjoyable, but because I wanted to unlock some stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of what I heard. It's just like, I played through the demo of that, and I was like, yeah. Why would anybody want
to
play this?
It's got some moments to it where it's actually kind of fun. Like, it's not so much the sperm chasing one that's fun. There's another one where you have a whole grid set up, and you have one spot where you're spawning virus programs and different types of attack programs to go in and infiltrate the system. You got to break through the barriers within a time limit, and that one's actually fun as hell.
Well, here's what I got. Here's my two cents on this. Every series has a bad DLC at some point.
Yeah.
Dead Space is pretty good overall.
What about Dead Rising? Did they have a bad DLC?
They had Dead Rising 1.
That wasn't a DLC.
No,
you said
it's a
DLC.
It's a bad part of the IP.
Yeah, but you said DLCs.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to hammer this one.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Every series, every IP has something really bad about it. Okay. Dead Space is Ignition. Dead Rising is Dead Rising 1. Dragon Age is Darkspawn Chronicles. So it's...
No, did you finally play that?
Oh, I couldn't even finish it. It was so horrible.
Is that the one with the dog that I named Durr?
No. Okay. All of them have a dog.
Oh, okay.
But I like the dog. The dog's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, a dog named Durr.
But, every good series has something really bad about it, and that's one of the things that's really bad about Dead Space's Ignition. It's a throwaway $5, if you ask me. You might as well just pay for download codes to get the cool shit.
See, it was an interesting approach, because what it was...
An interesting waste of time.
Well, no, it was an interesting...
Some really interesting artwork, too.
No. I'm not saying they succeeded. They failed miserably. But it was an interesting idea to make a choose-your-own-adventure, you know... little DLC game like that, because it is a choose-your-own-adventure game, and Dead Space has a huge comic influence.
Yeah, they could have used a real artist.
Yeah, I know. But they have a huge comic book roots influence, you know, on what they do, and it's kind of a kind of a throwback to that choose-your-own-adventure type style thing and puzzle-solving, which that was a nice little addition, but they could have executed it much better. The guy you play is a total douchebag.
They could have put some thought into... the graphics department. I know that sometimes things like that might be kind of artsy and interesting.
Yeah.
That doesn't really even cross the threshold of that concept. Because it's like they did a flashcard set.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even as good as an interactive comic, because at least an interactive comic has good art.
Well, have you seen the animes they put out, the two movies?
I'm not that big of a fan.
You should bitch about those.
Are they pretty bad, too?
Well, the first one... what was it called? I don't remember what the first one was called. I grabbed it, and I was a little disappointed with the whole thing. It kind of shows you if
Does
I remember.
Does it feel like fan fiction?
No. It kind of fills in what happened with the Ishimura when the outbreak first started. The second one I haven't watched yet. I grabbed, and I briefly buzzed through it, and the opening part's all CGI. So it's all CGI characters and crap, and then it goes into actual... animation when they do the flashback parts, and I was like, wow, that kind of bugged me.
I really wish it wouldn't have done that. I was actually listening to TVGP gripe about
it. I actually enjoy Chronicles of Riddick Dark Fury more than what I saw on the second one. So,
well, it was interesting to listen to somebody else actually harp on some of the same things that I was pissed off about. And they were talking about like how somebody was shrugging in one of the deals, and it looked like they just stretched the picture a little bit. And that's kind of how I feel about it. It's just like, it feels like so hastily thrown together when they have such two really polished games. It's $5, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay, fair enough, it is only $5. But for $5, I bought Case Zero. Mm-hmm. Case Zero is a full 3-hour game with art design, direction, missions.
Yeah.
It was a game.
Yeah, with this...
It's just... That just feels like... Like a really shitty side game that shouldn't have ever made it onto the table.
With Ignition, there's actually an achievement if you take all the cinematics out, which are actually really long, and you beat the game in less than 25 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, so all the puzzles equal to about 25 minutes worth of gameplay.
That was about 2 hours worth of gameplay, right?
Yeah, about 2 hours total
of
the gameplay.
Of watching Badge Flash Guards.
Basically, yeah.
Why would anybody do that themselves?
I don't know. For me, though, my biggest gripe wasn't the animation. My biggest gripe was just they could have expanded on it and made it a bit longer, I think, added more puzzles in, you know, made it more of an actual entry. And it does mount up to...
Like, they could have just taken out all the art and put in screenshots and it would have been better.
Yeah, yeah. It all mounts up to a prequel to right when Dead Space 2 starts, because it ends with Isaac Clarke. And so that I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, but it doesn't make sense, to be honest with you.
How do you feel about Isaac Clarke talking?
Oh, I don't mind. I like it.
How's the voice acting on it, by the way?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I was like, wow, this is actually really, really good. And his dialogue, you know, all the dialogue.
Is he snarky
really
at all,
good.
Or?
He's an asshole.
Is he?
Yeah.
I mean, you know that I'm a big douche canoe and I'm never going to get around to it. But the...
It's because you're afraid to play it.
I kind of am. You know, I can stomach Amnesia, which is an actual scary game, but jump scares, I just don't deal with it well.
This one's not so much jump scares.
It's not?
No. It's
whatever.
Not. No, this one is not so much jump scares. It's just tension. Lots and lots of tension.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. But the voice acting, like I said, Isaac Clarke's kind of an asshole, which, given the circumstances he's in, you can appreciate that, you know?
So really, that's most of what you've been playing, isn't it?
Well, I played that, and I'm trying to think... That's about it, and then modding the Xbox, so...
Yeah, when watching the project from afar.
Yes, I've decided to start modding the case on my Xbox to turn into a portal-themed Aperture Science device.
Well, and for those of you that don't know, he got a crafting boner the other day, and he went out and bought a tool set for some woodworking tools and, like, some...
Building some box lights, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to make them a long time ago, so I know I can make these. These are just going to be a lot bigger. So
you're going to fill your living room.
These are going to be like 48 by 48 inch. I used to make ones that were like 12 by 12. So
4 by 4 is kind of big.
Yeah, I know. But these hang on the wall and they're gigantic lights. So with rice paper.
So a 4 by 4 box light.
Yes.
It's like a semi's headlight.
Yes.
That's pretty big, dude.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be very interesting. But no, it's like also I wanted to get into doing some lamps, floor lamps.
Like how far is that going to come off the wall?
I think it is 4 to 6 inches, depending on how I want to go with it.
I'd say go with shorter, because that takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, I know it does. Yeah, I'm probably going to go with the 4-inch one. If I can go with a 3-inch, I'll go with that, because it all has to do with... I have to go to the hardware store and look at some H-brackets to see what their dimensions are before I can actually go into decide on what the dimensions are going to be for it. But yeah. So I just been doing that. I mean, I grabbed Penny Arcade's Precipice of Darkness, but I didn't really get a chance to dig into that.
Well, I actually picked that up too, and it was 75% off, which meant it was like $2.99. Now, granted, I haven't had a chance to pick it up yet, pick it up as in actually play it. But I couldn't pass up a deal like that, you know.
Yeah. I know. I think 75% off, so I was like, all right, I'll grab it. And I also bought it for my friend Jeff for his birthday and sent it to him. So, what else have I been doing? That's pretty much it. So, what have you been playing?
Well, I needed to play a lot of Two Worlds to get a good review going, and I'm most of the way done with it.
Well, you've been blown away by the multiplayer lately, haven't you?
I've been blown away by the length of the multiplayer, actually.
Length usually gets me in the end.
It does for me, too. And, you know, the thing about it is, like, I thought, you know, this is going to be kind of a jack-off multiplayer. It's going to be...
When jacking comes around, yeah, length is very important.
It is.
Yes.
But,
I like to be like a...
Just like you always need two people in douche canoe.
Yeah.
But, no, it's, basically, it's set up in several different modes. You got a deathmatch mode, which I wasn't really that interested in. And you got a, I forgot what the other mode, village mode, which after you make enough money, you make your own village. which I thought that was kind of cool. The other thing actually that I thought was really neat though was the fact that you had the action adventure mode. And basically what it is, it's...
Was it lots of action and adventure?
It is, actually. It's okay. It's WoW for Xbox Live without a subscription. Nice. So you play an RPG online with up to 8 people of all different classes, and you beat missions together. Now I try to play single player, and it's a bitch because they threw a shitload of enemies at me, and I was just like, I'm never going to be able to beat all these guys. And I did through a little bit of ingenuity. And the game's kind of broken, so, I mean, there's a lot of plays... Like, I was able to stand on top of a dead wolf that I'd stacked on top of another dead wolf and kill a skeleton. And the reason I was able to do that is he couldn't hit me when I was stacked on standing on two stacked wolves because the hit mechanics are kind of weird. But I was able to hit him with my arrows, so it worked out in the end.
Oh, my God. That just sounds ridiculous.
It's pretty funny, actually. Yeah. I was having a lot of fun with that.
Okay.
This isn't a really polished game, but if there was ever a B video game that was good, this would be it.
What about Hybrid Heaven? That was a B video game. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess you could say Hybrid Heaven was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty B too. So.
Yeah, that was the one with all the wrestling, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the wrestling. The
like suplex, that shouldn't be fun, but like doing the suplex move was actually pretty satisfying.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So the story was just atrocious, but it was really cool. Anyways,
well, like okay, so to contrast this review, I've been playing a really polished RPG, and it's really interesting, like, okay, I've been clashing this with Dragon Age, and that's a BioWare game, which means they already have pretty strong writing and pretty decent voice acting for the most part.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, Neverwinter Nights didn't have good voice acting, but the Mass Effect games did.
Yeah.
And in Dragon Age Origins, is no surprise that it has great voice acting. Of course, everybody that's into that kind of stuff's already played it by now, but it's really interesting to compare that with Two Worlds, because Two Worlds looks way better than Dragon Age. Like, leaps and bounds better. But the mocap in Dragon Age is a lot better.
It's like apples and oranges.
It is. Well, no. No, it's just like the textures they use in Dragon Age are so low res, it's not even funny. But despite all that, it's a really good game. And you play Two Worlds, and you got really good graphics, but you got some really weird physics, and you got some really, really atrocious voice acting. But
oh yeah, I heard some of the voice.
Yeah,
acting,
but it's still pretty fun.
Earth, wind, fire.
Earth, wind, fire. Yeah, that was
some
that cool
was
stuff.
Funny. I thought it was Neo for a second there.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the actual quest design on it wasn't too bad. I mean, there's a lot of the kill shit stuff, but also like finding out who was what was that one I was doing? You walked in. It was the teacher that was having sex with the students to have them pass grades and stuff like that. But there was a twist at the end of that.
I remember that. And he was the one that accused him of that was saying that the other one's running a prostitution service with the students, and you had to figure out who's lying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember ultimately, that, yeah. They're both shitheads. So
yeah, I kind of figured.
But I thought that was kind of neat. The end of the game, not going to spoil it for anybody, but the end of the game had a twist. Mm-hmm. The last boss battle is a bitch. It's not going to even go into it. But, there was a lot of broken shit on the mechanics. I really have a lot of mixed feelings about it, but...
Is the end of the game as epic of a twist as, say, Castlevania Lords of Shadow, or...?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a good twist?
It's a pretty good twist.
Pretty well thought out?
I have to say, and then you cut to credits... Mm. Mm-hmm. And there's more credits in the different translators than there was for the actual people that designed the game.
Wow.
Like, I was looking through the list of programmers, there's like maybe 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And animators, it was like 3 guys. You know, environmental design
3
was like...
very tired guys.
Yeah. The environmental design was like 7 guys. Jeez. I mean, there was like 50 guys that worked on this. And then 150 that translated it into different languages. So... There was only about 20 voice actors for each language, too, so...
Man.
Which I thought, you know, for a really small company, they made out a pretty good beat game. And I think that, I think people, if they'll give it a chance, will ultimately like it pretty well.
Yeah.
Especially since we don't have Skyrim coming out until late this year. Dragon Age comes out here in a couple months.
Yeah,
well, a month and a half.
March, yeah.
So, you know, and Dragon Age will be big, too, but, I mean, there's not a lot of big RPGs out there that are based in the fantasy realm that aren't, you know, Japan anime.
And that aren't grotesquely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is ridiculous, but it doesn't take itself too seriously either.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that, how they would kind of make fun of themselves a little bit through it and make fun of other RPGs throughout the game.
Yeah.
But the writing's not super good. The story is entertaining. The voice acting is horrible. But the overall game, man, I actually had a lot of fun with it. And it's about 20 hours. So, I mean, you can play through it, you know, and have a lot of fun over a weekend or whatever, and then play it again with a different class. I personally recommend going melee because the magic system is just really in-depth.
And you can play with yourself or others.
You can. Yes. So it's... Yeah, I played a lot of that. And, of course, I'm going back through Dragon Age. I went through and bought Liliana's Song or whatever her name is, and went through and played a little bit of that, played Witch Hunt, played some of the other shit. But, yeah.
Now, when it comes to multiplayer, actually, since I beat Dead Space and then beat it again and then beat it again.
Did you play the multiplayer then?
Yes, I went to multiplayer, and I spent an entire evening, probably about a good 6 hours on multiplayer.
It's not bad.
Yeah, and they have a limited amount of maps. There's only like maybe 4 or 5 maps right now. And they're all objective-based. You have something you have to do as a human. One of them is you have to get into the marker lab and destroy the marker.
Right.
Another one is you have to realign a solar array. Another one is you have to blow up a fuel cell. Another one you have to build a mine. And another one you just have to escape, you know, getting the escape pods. And it's 4 humans versus 4 necromorph players.
Plus the AI.
With AI, yeah. And, oh my god, it can be really fucking sad. I mean, you can hate fuck people as necromorphs till there's like no
tomorrow. Is it kind of unbalanced then?
No, not really. It can be. There's one thing that gets really annoying, and that is there's the pack, which are the little kids that run around.
Little babies.
Yeah. And, well, they're about, you know, 8-9-year-old looking kids. But the shit part is they're really hard to kill because they jump all over the place. And the shitty part...
They move faster than you.
Yeah, they can move faster than you. And the shitty part is that the AI, the director, basically, does not regulate how many pack can be spawned at once. So you'll actually get a group of players who just do nothing but spawn as pack. And what happens is all they have to do is jump at you and do their execution attack where they grab a hold of you. And then the other one will come up and start hitting you, and boom, you're dead. There's no way out of it. There's nothing that can save you.
No quick time event?
No, there's a quick time event, but it doesn't work. Because they'll knock your health down so low from the one hitting you that the one on top gets you killed instantly. So, and that's kind of fucking unfair. Because it basically keeps you from being able to do anything except for take them off. And they are the first ones to spawn, too. Because there's a spawn order. It goes like pack, lurker, slasher, and puker and spitter, I think is whatever it is. And the pack are the quickest ones to spawn. So you can just get bombarded by them constantly. And players will sit there and be like, all right, guys, let's just go ahead and spawn a pack. And you can hear the other team while you're all playing. And it gets so fucking shitty because they will just fuck you up and down. And it's ridiculous.
So you can, everybody can hear each other?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how does that even work?
No real strategizing. That's the thing is that... As a human, you can't see anybody except for yourself. You don't even see your team through the walls, but you can see, you know, a directional thing telling you kind of where they are and where your objective is. As necromorphs, you can see through walls. You can see humans as a central nervous system, which is kind of cool. You see their entire nerve system, and it's color-coded for how close to death they are, which is kind of sweet. And you can see where some of your other guys are. And that's kind of a disadvantage, because you'll be going around a corner and a pack will just jump on you out of nowhere and then you'll get fucked. So, but that's my biggest piss off, is that when a whole team goes as pack, and then you have AI pack as well, because that's one of the more common ones spawned by AI, and they just fucking rape you, like, constantly. They don't let you get anything done. Which is kind of the point, is to try and attack you and keep you from doing stuff, but it's kind of shitty when they just all gang up as pack, because all 4 of them can jump on all 4 of the survivors and screw you up completely. It's like nobody will be able to save anybody or assist anybody, and you can wipe out. I mean, I wiped people within the first stage of most of the missions before they even got past the first mark, check mark, you know? But we did it the good old-fashioned way with lurkers and everything. We used the whole menagerie of creatures, you know? We just didn't fucking all gang up as one class. So I think it's kind of unfair, and I think they should put out a... a patch that kind of fixes it. So regulates how many pack can be on the game out at a single time at least.
So, well, maybe that needs to be heard because I really haven't heard anybody talk about that yet.
It's a pain in the ass. It really is. It's frustrating. But no, but the game is really fun. Multiplayer. You level up. You can earn a lot of fucking experience. You know, the whole point is to dominate both waves, as human and as necromorph. If you do that, you end up getting 4,000 points rather than 1,000 points for each round. Because you get 1,000 points for each round you dominate. And if you get both, you get an extra 2,000 points for efficiency.
Like best 2 out of 3 or something?
No, it's best 1 out of 2 or best 2 out of 2, yeah. If you come out with a tie, you both get 1,000 points for that particular round that you won in the end. If you take down both rounds and win, then you get 4,000 total for taking them all. Then you get damage bonus for how much damage you spit out. And I mean, I walked out with like 10 grand on one map, and that was enough to level me up like a level and a half. So, and then it started getting a little bit slower because it does get larger and larger and larger between the levels. But as you level up, you unlock weapons. Like you start off with the pulse rifle and the plasma cutter, and then you get the line gun. And I don't know what the third one is. I haven't gotten that one yet. And it's a pretty big gap in between. You have to deal with some of the weapons you have for quite a while. And then you get upgrades for each of those weapons.
So, and of course, that doesn't carry over to the next match, right?
Oh, no, it carries over to the next match, yeah. It's almost like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. You have your profile set.
Oh, so at whatever level you are is how well or what you're going to be equipped with when you go into a match.
Yeah, and you can swap your equipment out. So if you want to go back to having just your pulse rifle, which is a pretty handy weapon, you can go back and use that, even though it's level 1. Also, it's not just the humans that get upgraded. The necromorphs also get upgraded. Pukers have further puking distance. Lurkers can run faster and shoot faster. Pack can run faster, jump further. So you get, you know, little upgrades for both sides, so it's not just all...
Is there a matchmaking system that regulates what group of people are with who?
No. No.
People really want to be playing this right now because they play it 2 months from now, they're just going to get raped.
Yeah, they're going to get raped. You know, I went in there and I went from like level 4 to level 16 or something like that in one night. And it's not easy. It was a lot of work. It's not like Tron where you just sit there and, you know, you can dominate the shit out of something. There were maps where most of the time I'd go in there, my team would do well and we would win both rounds. Then occasionally we run up at a team that kind of, you know, it's not that they're better at it, it's just they actually talk. That's the downside. You know, because not a lot of people talk on Dead Space for some reason. They like to pull the Dead Space 1 Isaac Clarke and just not talk at all and just, you know, grunt. You know, it's trying to tell people what to do. But it is a lot of coordination and strategy because, I mean, there's times where you, on every single one of those maps, you have to access a panel to activate something, and during that time, you're completely vulnerable. You can look around, but you are completely vulnerable, so you have to have people covering your ass. And I'm trying to think, there was this one group I played with for about 4 matches, and every time I knew the way to go, and I was just booking it, and they were all falling behind. But luckily, the other team didn't even notice me. So I was able to go through and activate every fucking panel without getting attacked once, carry the object, and when you carry objects, you have to walk really slow. You can't run or anything. You can fire, but you're just really slow walking, so you need cover. I just walked my happy ass all the way back to the start and plugged the shit in I needed. And and then I went and activated the panels, and then the escape pods were ready, and I was the only one that survived. So the rest of them all kept dying. And I was like, okay. I walked up to the escape pod, and then it goes into view mode so you can watch everybody else since you're already in the escape pod. And I just watched every one of them just get their asses kicked. And I was like, well, I told them to keep up with me. So, yeah, but it is fun. It is really fucking fun, especially the escape map where you have to just get the fuck out of there. That one's really fun. And there is a lot of strategy, like I said, and it can get really fucking just chaotic, you know, when you've got, like, all 4 guys knowing where you're headed towards, and they all get ready and prepped, and the second you walk in, they just all jump on you. So it can be pretty insane sometimes. Definitely fun, though. So I give it about as much fun as Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer.
How would you compare it to something like Left 4 Dead?
they need to expand more on the maps for me to actually be able to compare it to Left 4 Dead. Because Left 4 Dead, I mean, these maps are like 5 minutes apiece.
And
you know?
We can spend...
Yeah, it's about 5 minute rounds. So each round, each game you play is about 10 minutes long. As for Left 4 Dead, I mean, I've had versus modes that have gone over an hour when each team is pretty equally matched and we can make it to the end of each map, and then it all just comes down to who dish out the most damage. Now those, I mean, I've had online co-op maps that were like over 3 hours long. So that's, you know, when you put them on expert mode, they can get pretty fucking drawn out. I don't ever see them do anything like that with Dead Space. Yeah, it'd be really hard to do. As for making a co-op version of the game, that might be interesting to see. So, because they originally were talking about doing that with Extraction, having a co-op version where it's up to four players going through, and that's before they turned into a rail shooter. You know, and I think they just decided that would be the easiest way to go. So they're still...
that's because they're going with motion control.
Yeah, yeah. But there's still a chance in the future Dead Space 3 maybe will end up being a four-player co-op, which would be very interesting to see.
So I wouldn't mind playing a co-op.
Yeah, because you get all scared and stuff.
I'd have somebody watch my back.
I remember my favorite thing was when we were off mic one day talking about Dead Space. You're like, what we need to do is we need to have me, you, and Andrew all sit down.
No, it wasn't me, you, and Andrew. Actually, I'm going to tell this story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Andrew came up to me and he's like, so, I know you're a big pussy. It comes to Dead Space. It's like, yep, pretty much. He's like, maybe me and you can just, like, go back and forth on the controller. We'll just swap back and forth. I almost did it, but that's further down that road that I want to go.
I was sitting in here with the lights off, you know? The lights
you
off.
You like horror, though.
Yeah, I live and breathe horror. It's my favorite thing in the world, but... Part two is really not that scary. It's just more, there's just visually terrifying and tense.
Now that you've played it 5,000 times.
I still love it. Dude. I play through it again right now. So, and I do it with the lights off and headphones on and somebody wearing a giant clown mask screaming in my face. I'd still do it. So, yeah.
I don't mind. I'll stick with my RPGs.
Yeah. I will point out one thing that I think I was talking to you about this, about EA. And about Visceral, actually. And
they just take it as far as they can go.
Well, no, it's just Dante's Inferno. They had babies with razor blades for legs that you had to kill. And this one, they have little babies with glowing sacks for bodies. They have regular arms, regular head, but their bodies are slug sacks that explode.
What do they call those?
I don't remember, like Boomer. I'll just call them Boomers because they explode if they get to you. They'll actually like crawl towards you really fast and they'll roll right into you. But
that's weird.
Yeah. Now you kill all the babies in Dante's Inferno. Okay. In Dead Space 2, there's actually an achievement for blowing the babies' heads off so they don't explode. Because if you hit their body, they explode. But if you hit their head, they just and they drop dead. Then you can pick up the sack and throw it at somebody. Visceral has a thing about killing babies. I'm convinced of it.
I just don't like some kind of Freudian thing.
I don't know what it is. Maybe they just thought that's the most offensive thing out there is to kill little babies. So let's put it inside a game. You know? And it's funny because I'm sitting there with the Seeker rifle where you can kind of zoom in. And I like the rifle because when you go into zoom in, it doesn't go to like a scope. It just goes really close on your shoulder. And the retina will tighten in a little bit. And I was sitting there with that, letting like 8 of these babies crawl towards me. Just pop, 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 then boom, got the achievement. I was like, wow, I actually feel accomplished for blowing little babies' heads off. It's pretty fucking interesting. So there's just something wrong with Visceral. I don't know what it is.
Well, you 1,000-pointed the game already, didn't you?
Actually, I only have one achievement left. Hardcore mode.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, I have to beat the game on... I beat Mass Effect on Hardcore Insanity. I think I can beat Dead Space. Of course, I could save as many times as I wanted on Mass Effect.
I didn't have to kill any babies in Mass Effect.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I 1,000-pointed Dead Space 1. I think I can 1,000-point Dead Space 2. But I'm also kind of hoping they put out some DLCs, especially for the multiplayer maps.
I'm sure they will. The game's doing pretty well so far.
Oh, it's doing phenomenal, dude. It's... I mean, for us alone, that was one of our highest rated podcasts we had was the Dead Space 1, but we had Dead Space in 2 Worlds that week, And
well, Two Worlds definitely being the low man on the total pole for
that. Yeah, but to be nice, it was there. You know, I was trying to be nice.
Well, yeah. Actually, no, let me throw something out about that. Mm-hmm. Actually, a lot of users are giving it about a 9. And
nice.
It was a really anticipated game for PC gamers, so it was out on PC before it came out on Xbox 360. I'm not going to rate it that high, but on a fun level, I had a lot of fun with it. So
the fun factor?
That fun factor. No, really, I mean, I've had a lot of fun with it, so.
I give it a 2 knuckle.
2 knuckles?
Yeah, 2. That's my Catholic factor. I give it 2 knuckles.
Yeah, it was a...
Send me angry emails we can get. Everybody snowed in. They got nothing better to do than to bitch. So,
yeah. Yeah. So that snow.
Yeah.
Snowmageddon 2011.
Yeah. That snow is blowing harder than that little altar boy. Anyway. Yeah. Snowmageddon 2011.
Has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. It's going to be even worse next year.
So. I don't know. Like, I was looking at some pictures that somebody had posted on another forum of Chicago.
Yeah.
And... in Chicago, over there on, I think it was over there in Lincoln Park,
yeah.
Like right along the Bayside.
Was it Wicker Park? Or
maybe Wicker it was Park. Wicker Park.
Might have been Wicker Park. Or Oak Park, maybe.
No, it wasn't Oak Park, because it was right along the Bay. But
okay,
it was,
I think that's Wicker Park, then.
Anyways, yeah, I haven't been to Chicago that many times, but...
I love Chicago. I love Chi-Town.
It's a cool place. But anyways...
Very expensive. Go ahead.
I was looking at pictures of, like, right along the road, and there was all these cars that were stopped dead in their tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And that was because the snow was over the top of the roofs. Like, you could see, like, drifts covering most of the cars. Mm-hmm. And it looked like people had just abandoned their cars all in a line just along this road.
Nice.
It's like, holy
Did
shit.
Did you see, like, frozen hookers looking like statues standing next to the cars? That
would have been kind of entertaining and sad at the same time.
Well, Wicker Park used to be that bad. So they've actually redone a lot of... the smaller villages in Chicago. And
I gotta say, Chicago, out of all the big cities in the U.S., is probably one of the safest ones I've ever been to.
That's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. And,
like Dallas? Okay, I lived in Dallas for a little while. Dallas could be fucking scary as shit.
Did they have like 50 murders a day, pretty much? I remember I was down there.
Oh, it's not that bad.
No, I was down there for...
No, when you listen to it, when you just watch the evening news.
Yeah. I was down there for a show in Houston.
Well, okay. That's Houston.
Yeah, I know, in Houston. I was playing a show at the Meridian, and
Houston's a different animal. That's a really scary place.
That's a really scary place. And I ended up, the whole band and me, we crashed at somebody's house that came to the show, you know. And I was sitting there sleeping on the fucking recliner, and I was watching their TV. And we were like 1 month into the new year, and they already had like over 200 some odd fucking deaths, like murders. And I was like, we were at like 13. Here in Tulsa, I was just like, wow. Of course, and I thought, I was like, well,
yeah, it's like
every extrapolated, other... though, it's a bigger city. A
well,
lot more
Houston is
people.
One of the largest cities in the U.S.
Yeah.
But Dallas, to be fair, the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area has like 14 million people.
I never had any problems in Dallas.
No, it just depends
there,
on where you go.
Yeah, it depends on where you go. But
like, just
never...
south of Deep Ellum?
Yeah.
There are some really scary places down there. Even Deep Ellum's gotten really fucking crazy.
I'll tell you one of the...
I lived on top of a sushi restaurant, actually, just kind of a funny side note, for a little while.
Was it Deep Sushi?
It was in Deep Ellum. It was...
Yeah, Deep Sushi.
I don't remember if it was called Deep Sushi.
That's, like, the biggest sushi shop down there in Deep Ellum.
Well, it was in a little apartment on the same building up on the roof, basically.
Sounds about right.
It might have been it.
They had really decent sushi.
They had some really hot waitresses down there.
Yeah. Yeah, they were...
I was kind of living with a girl at the time, so
I'm not really into Asian chicks, but they had some Asian chicks covered in tattoos, and I was in there with my ex-girlfriend, and she's the one that pointed out. She was the one that was, because she was all into chicks and stuff, she's like, dude, our waitress is really hot, and I was like, yeah, I really don't, Asian girls, it's just not my thing. And then she, made an ass out of herself. Anyways, but,
awkwardness aside, but, like, going back to Chicago, it's... definitely one of the safer places I've been to as far as, like, big cities. Like, except for the train at night, that would be a more interesting experience. But the actual city, man, I had no problems with it.
See, the worst place that... I've been to a lot of horrible places, but the one that really stood out...
East St. Louis?
No, I wouldn't say
East St. Louis is the most dangerous place I've ever been to in my entire life.
I was going to say west side of Highway 10 in New Orleans.
I haven't been there.
That's not a good place to be. My hotel was over there. I quickly moved out of my hotel and moved closer to the French Quarter. I told the hotel there was a giant cockroach the size of a cat, so they let me move out. But, yeah, you walk down the streets and people are flashing guns in your face, and I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. Yeah, let's go back to the hotel. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's not something I want to experience. Yeah.
So I went and stayed at an old slave plantation that was turned into a hotel right on North Rampart, which is actually really cool because the whole place was haunted. And it was pretty fucking weird. So it was a very interesting place. I played Risk on the PlayStation. So I brought a PlayStation with me. This is how long ago it was. And we had a massive storm come in. And I just sat there and played Risk with the shutters open. And the wind was blowing from the other direction, and it quickly changed. And my bed was on the other side of the wall, and it actually came in through the door and sprayed all the way to the back wall. That's how strong the wind was. It was ridiculous.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was very strong. They were like, everybody was sandbagging when I got there, and I was like, I think the levees are going to break. Fucking time to come down here, didn't I?
The levees are going
to
break.
Yeah, and I went into onto Governor Nickel Street. I stopped into some antique doll shop and stuff with some other crap. I saw the person. They were like, you need to get the fuck back to your hotel. And I was like, why? And they got like, they were like, we live here. You don't want to be here right now. And I was like, oh, okay. So I go back to my hotel after I got lunch. And as soon as I got in the door, just whole thing just kicked up. And the Riverwalk Mall was like flooded like 2 feet on the outside atrium area. It was just fucking 2 feet of fucking water. It was ridiculous. That's... basically what we have here, just more liquid.
Yeah.
So, not solid. So.
Well, I think it's really interesting because we really don't get snow that often down here.
We used to.
What, before the polar bears started dying?
Yeah, pretty much. No, when I was a kid, man, I remember spending winters in Tulsa when we would have like a good foot of snow, you know, throughout like an entire month. Not so much anymore. And I'm not blaming global warming. I don't believe in global warming. So, it's just the natural cycle of the planet. But, but yeah, we don't get snow as much anymore down here. And so when we do, it's kind of a big thing. So,
well, snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon. So I used to spend winters in Michigan.
Well, that's something totally different.
Yeah,
that's another
animal.
Right, yeah, you go ice fishing in Michigan.
We exited the two-story house through the second-story window and just slid down down the fucking
yeah,
pile.
Yeah, the
of
difference
snow.
Is they snowplow there.
Yeah, when they can. It can get pretty bad, man. Sometimes, because we were in a Kellogg, near Kellogg. And,
like where
actually, sorry, yeah. Yeah, it's actually where it's but actually, it's Battle Creek is where my family lived. And they would have a Christmas parade. And I remember a couple years, it just kept getting pushed back because you couldn't, like, if you walked down the street, you were pretty much beyond your knees up to your waist in snow. So, I loved it, though. It was great. So... it was a great
yeah, we had a really day. Interesting experience going up to Walgreens yesterday. That was
oh, you mean when I died?
Yeah, we both about died.
No, I did die. So
I remember I had ice crystals in my beard.
Yeah, you did.
I felt like a
you looked like Gandalf. So.
It was getting pretty epic outside.
Yeah, we had to stop at a tree.
We did because yeah. Well, it was blowing like 40 yeah. miles an hour, and then it was like. The wind chill was like -10 or
yeah,
15 or
that.
Something like that.
We got about...
I sucked the wind out of me. Like,
we got
I was
about,
so
like, what,
tired.
Like 80 feet from the apartment. I said, let's stop at this tree for a minute. And we stopped at the tree. And we stood there for about half a minute. I was like, all right, let's go.
I was breathing so hard, too.
Yeah.
Like,
then
I'm
we
not that out
of
shape.
Of the,
it's just that...
Then we stopped at the top of the stairs, too.
My lungs just clenched up. They're just like, we can't take the cold.
It was so cold. And I even had a scarf, and it just wasn't really helping too much. It kept my face warm, but my glasses fogged up like a motherfucker. So I had to take them off and walk blind. And,
well, I was walking.
Don't laugh.
I was walking blind because I knew that was going to happen with all the snow and the wind. And it was just like, it was intense.
It wasn't so bad coming back.
Like, I felt like a Viking. Like, I had that inner monologue going on. Like, I was just thinking to myself, you know, like, I'm...
meat. Must find meat.
Going on the hunt, you know? The hunt for the oven pizza.
Were you sitting there thinking to yourself, it's like, I don't know where this asshole Eric's taking us, but I'm going to kill him. Yeah, so, fucking, what was it? I was just calling Leaf Eric.
Well, like, as I was walking, I just had that whole, thing kind of going in my head as I'm walking to, like, motivate myself.
Which one was that from OEO? That was that Wizard of Oz?
I think so.
Yeah, so you had little fairy tale things going on in your
head. I guess so, man. I got weird shit going through my head sometimes.
I was singing Oompa Loompa songs, so it's fine. Mine's more manly.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was definitely an event. And I feel bad for Andrew and Holly because they live at the top of a gigantic hill called Shadow Mountain where I used to live. And
yeah,
you don't want to be out there when it snows.
Well, on top of that, like, the ice was coming down in sheets the night before, and, like, it was...
It started as ice.
Remember we were hearing it outside. Yeah. It was going in the chimney, and then we'd go and look at it on the deck, and it's just like, holy shit, man. Yeah. It's just, like, coming down in waves, and it was, like,
pure
frozen rain.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's going to be bad.
And it rained. It did that for over 12 hours.
Yeah, and then on top of that, it snowed like a motherfucker, so...
Yeah, afterwards, so it's all frozen underneath with powder... Well, it's like it's all frozen underneath and then like a good maybe half foot of good snow and then the rest is all powder. So when you step on it, you sink and then you hit ice and then you slip. So I remember trying to come back down from Walgreens, that little shortcut I wanted to take. And I just had to basically grab onto the pole and slide down and almost fucking break my neck. So
well, they got a good little trail going there right now.
Yeah.
Like the humans and the dogs have made a trail up to Walgreens.
Yes.
So
they've beaten the path.
They've built a road.
Just following their footsteps.
Well, you can. It's there's a little road going up there now.
Yeah, there is now. Yeah, I've been watching people and they've been making it up there a lot easier. So
yeah, it wasn't so bad. I went up there earlier today.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go up there in the morning when they open because I slept tonight because I have the 24-hour film festival I have to participate in this weekend. So I have to be
is
up
Is that why
12...
your schedule's all fucked up?
Yes, I have to be up
for those of us that don't know, you've been like going to bed at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and waking up at like 9 o'clock at night?
Yes.
Just really fucking bizarre.
Well, the film festival...
Like a vampire schedule.
Yeah, the film festival starts at midnight on the 4th. And so technically the 5th, you know, right in the morning. And they
so
announce,
Saturday?
Yeah, and they announce what you have to have in this short film you're doing. Because it'll either be like a line of dialogue, or it'll be a prop, or found footage, something like that. And then you have 24 hours to shoot it, edit it, and deliver it to them. So you have one day to shoot an entire 5-minute short film on the fly.
Are you going
to
do it?
Yeah, we're doing it. So.
Are you going to post it on the website?
I don't know. It's not going to be
my... Depends if it's good or not.
No, it's just not. It's not my project altogether. I'm working with like 4 other guys.
Oh, okay.
So, and I'm working with Andrew, obviously, and then I want to work with these 3 other guys that are in my my class who we all want to work together because we're the ones who love horror and just, you know, creepy movies and stuff. So, and but of course, our teacher wants to come up with the teams himself. And I'm a med student, but I'm taking this as a favor for our other podcaster, Andrew. He talked me into doing this film class with him, so he'd have somebody to basically go through it with him. And it's actually been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And my teacher's pretty cool. I like Matt. He's really fun. And he's a huge Tron nerd. So, Megatron nerd.
So yeah. Moving around back full circle here, video games?
On your blank piece of paper.
Yeah, my blank piece of paper. At. Yeah, I was looking at it.
It's
kind of
like
much.
Staring at your wrist when you don't have a watch. So... Yeah, with video games, yeah. So you had your Two Worlds 2.
Yeah, I kind of burned myself out on it, so I'm ready to finish my review on it. And so I've been playing Dragon Age. So I'm gonna get through the expansions and probably play a little bit of Darksiders or not Darksiders.
Dark Void.
No. What was that game I picked up the other day? The Darkness.
Oh, the Darkness. Yeah, the older game. Yeah.
Yeah, I never really got around to playing it, so I think I'm gonna play a little bit more.
About a month ago.
Yeah, I haven't got. I have Rainbow Six New Vegas.
I remember you
like still
there.
In the packing.
Yeah, I remember you were sitting there going like, "Dude, he's Italian."
He is Italian. Like, I didn't really expect it.
Yeah,
like it played on this whole whole goth thing, you know. And I was like, he's gonna be like the Crow, and then he's got an Italian accent, in, like Gorgeous
like
George or something,
mafia
you know.
Thing going on.
Yeah, there's a whole mafia story behind it, and I did not expect that.
So it's kind of like Innocent Blood with the whole mafia vampire movie thing.
I'm kind of getting behind it though.
Yeah,
it's pretty entertaining so far.
See, I went and I picked up Dark Void because
I think you'll like it.
Oh, I've already played it.
Have you?
Yeah, I rented it from GameFly. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I've already played it and beaten it. The story is what the end is the thing that just really pissed me off with it. But
we still doing GameFly?
No, we're probably switching over to Blockbuster.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but right now we're snowed in. So I can't go.
So just
up.
Shouting this out to GameFly, if any of you potential employees are listening, put up more new games so we can review them and have a reason to have your service. Because 5-month old games aren't going to help us at all.
Yeah,
because we've probably already played them.
Yeah, email me at fuker23@yahoo.com. So.
Or tiltcast@rockandmetal.com.
Well, yeah, I had the account, though, so they might not know who the fuck that is. So, but yeah, I just got kind of irritated with it, and I was like, all right, you know, I looked at Blockbuster to do their online thing, which is an important thing. We talk about this for people who like to rent video games. On Blockbuster's website, you don't want to do their rent video thing, because you can rent videos and games, but the deal is that a lot of the new games aren't available until like 4 or 5 months after.
Right, you want to do the in-store pickup.
Yeah, and you have to go to a store to sign up for that. It's a totally different service. It's called the Game Pass or whatever. And then the one that's online is for video and games. But like I said, you cannot rent games until a lot of them until 6 months after they've already been out, which is total shit. You know, that what's the point?
Well, the nice thing, though, is they have a lot of this stuff on release. They don't have 100% of the games, but they usually when there's a major game coming out, like when Dead Space came out, I'm pretty sure they had one. Like when Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 came out, they had a release event for it. And so it's really nice that you can actually go and pick up a game on the day of its release and rent it and not have to buy it. And I know with, you know, the economy being the way it is, that's not really a bad idea.
Yeah, I want to get it set up in time to play Alice, the new Alice in Wonderland game that's coming out.
As hopefully the storefront stays open long enough for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they filed bankruptcy, but that's a long process. And
they've closed over 2,000 stores, but the one that we live next to, the two we live next to are actually really busy, and because they're right over here in the, you know, Peoria area and all that crap, which is, you know, big area, a lot of businesses, a lot of apartments and stuff. So I didn't tell people where we live. Don't look at me like that. Anyway, we don't even live on Peoria. We live on, never mind. But anyways, yeah, we live on Harvard.
Remember remember that incident we had where we had the people from the other country that hacked our website with beheadings?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep that in mind.
Don't worry. We'll be fine. I don't think they actually listened to the podcast when they hacked the website. So
anyways, they may not have, but precautions should be made.
I don't think they did. But what was it?
They still who has us from time to time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. I've blocked 4 or 5 different IPs.
Ah, nice.
So people in Turkey are who-is-ing to try to figure out where we're at. And I'm glad they get the... we go through GoDaddy. So they get the GoDaddy generic domain address thing. That shows where their corporate headquarters is when you who has us now.
I'll just make sure not to open any cylindrical packages that show up. So,
yeah.
Yeah, addressed to you.
No pipe bumps, please.
Yeah, my name's not on there. So, I'm going to go and set it up once it clears out so we can actually do it, because I want to have it in time to do Alice. And my one thing is, they are going bankrupt, but I have a feel that Blockbusters might finally catch up with the times, because they already have the Blockbuster cubes where you can order stuff.
Well, you know, here's something I want to comment on that. Mm-hmm. It's with all this online media and streaming media going on, I mean, really the only thing you have right now is OnLive for video games like that and Steam.
Yeah.
And you can't really rent an Xbox game through your console. If they had that service, that'd be pretty kick-ass.
That'd be cool. What they need to do is GameFly needs to actually partner with Blockbuster.
PSN. I think they ought to partner with PSN and Xbox Live.
They could still do that if they partner with Blockbuster, I think. But I don't think it will cause too big of an issue legally. But I think they need to, since they're all video game rentals, and Blockbuster's finally starting to get into the movie rentals, and they've talked about doing video game
remember they had the story
boxes,
you could sell your used shit over at Blockbuster?
Yeah, at the Game Zones. Yeah.
Yeah, and they used to, I don't know if they still have those around, but
they still do on a couple places, yeah.
But there's not really any storefront places, and it is really satisfying to go someplace and actually rent a disc, mm-hmm. pop it in, and play it. You know, movies, not so much. I mean, the cool thing with Netflix is, you can rent a lot of shit. Most of it's about a year old, though.
Yeah.
Blockbuster, it's not that old.
Yeah.
And that's one of the benefits of having that service. OnLive, OnLive is cool, but OnLive still has a lot of old games. They don't really have a lot of release games, and they're still kind of a beta thing.
Also, I think there might be, just from an outsider perspective, I think they're having a couple problems because they're already starting to do special deals where you get like a free, where you get an all month game pass to play anything and everything. I don't know if they get a lot of subscribers hooking up for stuff.
Well, they're not, because they're having to sell that home console. Yeah. And again, the problem is not with the product itself, it's in what they're releasing with the product.
Yeah.
You release a bunch of year-old games there for people to try out. Yeah, that's cool, but most of us already played those and we already have them or have rented them, beat them, whatever. I don't really want to go back to it. So that's my only problem with their library right now. There's about 20, 30 games on there, and it's all stuff I've either tried out or I'm not really interested in anymore.
The only advantage with OnLive is the fact that you can play it on just about any PC.
That's true.
That is the only advantage. And so
have you tried played some of the better games on there?
Yeah, they run fine. And my computer is strictly for school and graphic editing. It's not anything spectacular. I have a built-in NVIDIA chipset because I used to be a PC gamer. I'm really not anymore. I kind of walked away from that because it's so expensive to keep updating shit. So my computer is not fantastically updated. I have, like, I think 3 gigs of RAM. And it runs newer games like the Batman, you know, Arkham Asylum, which is a pretty graphic game. It looks
almost just like it.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a difference, and I think part of it's just because it's streaming from a server, but
yeah,
I really don't notice any kind of lag with it. And of course we wouldn't notice it because our connection's pretty hot, but
yeah.
It's a pretty cool service, but I don't think they should charge full price on the games since you don't actually purchase anything.
I think the
Game Pass is a cool idea, but if they had new release games with that Game Pass, I think it would really catch on.
Well, see, the thing is when you do buy a full Game Pass and you're spending $59 on a game, it's not like you have that game actually on your computer where you can play it anywhere you go. You have to have internet connection.
Well, people are worried about it. They don't know if OnLive tanks. I just lost $120 worth of investment if you bought two games, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things where they need to make it more incentive by dropping prices or something like that, or allowing you to actually install things to your computer. But I think their licensing might not allow them to. I don't know what the whole story is with them and how they run everything. But what I was talking about is if Gamefly and Blockbuster were to work together, I think they would, you know, it'd be okay. I mean, they both offer a similar service, but if Gamefly took over the entire aspect of working with them at their kiosks, and that's the big thing, is the kiosks, allowing game rentals for kiosks. That's my interest. So if Blockbusters would build a Gamefly kiosk to go right next to theirs, so you have video game rental and video rental, I would be happy with that.
I think it'd be kind of a good idea since they're giving out all these exclusives for new purchases. If they say, hey, you rent it, you get this special item on some of these games, because it would give people incentive to rent games.
Yeah, but it doesn't give me enough incentive to risk the fact of losing $60 because they tank. That doesn't make... Just if I get special armor to wear in-game.
If you rented it, though.
Oh, yeah. If I rented it, that's...
And you got an incentive by renting it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of those things, but...
Like, all I have to do is just throw out 20 copies to every Blockbuster outlet of a new release game, and they could rent the shit out of those for, you know, a month. Mm-hmm. But just give it some kind of restriction. I don't know, just something, because there's so many games come out. Obviously, people can't play everything if they have any kind of real budget.
Yeah,
I mean, your average Joe can't throw down, you know, $200 a month on games. Most people can't. So I mean, you get a lot of people, like friends of mine online, that don't do the things that we do. Like they're playing a lot of the same game over and over again because they can't throw down as much hard earned on this shit.
Yeah, not people like Jeff, who have like over 300 some odd games on their Steam account, and they're just constantly buying new games as they come out. But you know, he does a good job and makes really good money doing it. So, and it all goes into gaming and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but I'm just talking about your average Joe, not broke, but your average middle income person doesn't make that kind of money.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So it's just one of those things where services like Gamefly, I'm not bitching about what they do, I'm just bitching about how they go about doing it with the new releases. They make it nearly impossible for you to get a game the second it comes out.
Well, they always talk about all the new titles they have. You're never going to get it.
You'll get it, but it'll take you like 2 months. So
yeah.
You know, and that's only if anybody returns their copy on time, because you can just keep them for as long as you want.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people review games too, get them for free. So
yeah, we don't. We should.
We should.
We should.
But
we'd be nice.
It would be a nice...
Well, no, I'm saying we would be nice. We'd be fair, but we'd be nice. So,
fair.
Yes.
Objective.
Yes. But it's just one of those things. But, well, that's going to be your guys' job at PAX this year, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep. So you better watch out, indie developers. We're going to be hitting you up.
Yeah, I love indie developers. The guys at Euphoria, the ones that, that did Euphoria, man. I can't remember what the dev team was, but man, you guys come up with anything, just send it my way, and I'll give you a sweet ass. I love your games. It's like one of my favorite games is Euphoria. I still play the shit out of it.
It's a pretty interesting game.
Oh, I love it.
I still need to pick it up.
It gets hard as shit, too. You think it's really easy, and then you get further in, you just get your ass kicked, you know, just immensely. And but it's a good challenge, and it's a really interesting strategy game. I was really impressed with the way they did it, and the graphics are just so awesome. Just so, like, minimalistic and laid back. And the music is really cool.
Well, it's not necessarily a pick-up-and-put-down game either, is it? I mean,
Yeah, it is. You can go into a chapter and run through a chapter and stuff, and it saves constantly. So, I mean, once you finish it, you can walk away. And when you come back, it's already unlocked the next chapter for you, so you can progress. So you don't have to just keep going. But it's one of those games where you just kind of want to keep going because it's so much fun, and everything changed. And they have the dark matter version of the game where all the color schemes are reversed, where it's all black with neon glowing, you know, planets and seedlings, which is really cool. And that's basically the same exact game, just switched around. So definitely interesting. Some user made maps would be pretty fun though. So, and that's one thing I was talking about with Dead Space was I'm pretty sure it'd be really hard to make to have a level editor for a game like Dead Space.
It's pretty unique.
Yeah. And the lighting is so screwed up in Dead Space. You know, it's good, but it's so screwy that it would probably be a pain in the ass to pull off.
Well, and getting the jump scares right.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the jump scares right.
That would be the whole beauty of it, is going in and playing somebody who thought this was really scary, and you get in there and you're like, what? So it's just one of those things. But
you got the AI tracking wrong, and so the...
Yeah.
The necromorph's like just bumping into a wall.
Yeah.
You're like, well, he's kind of retarded, so.
Yeah. I could see them doing a level editor on PC, but I would never see a console version of it.
I don't think they ever released one for Dead Space 1.
No, I know they didn't, but I'm talking about in the future. I could see them doing one for PC, but I don't think they could ever do one for console with what they're doing right now, because it is really, really interesting. But yeah, anyways, we really don't have a whole lot of games this week.
Yeah,
came out.
I mean,
nothing really came out.
I played the demo for Bionic Commando 2.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
It's one level. Really a big throwback to some of the older games. They got a lot of the that same, like, 16-bit music, you know? Which, actually, I thought that was kind of cool.
Kind of like our soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly like our soundtrack, but, yeah. I mean, different score.
Dun, 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 dun.
But kind of crunchy. Kinda,
crunchy.
Yeah. I like it. I'll probably end up picking this up at some point. It's a platformer, like the old games. I mean, it's not like the full rendered, you know, 3D version like they did recently that would kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But, it's a big throwback to old school platforming. And you got the, you know, the whole arm thing. You shoot it out and you kind of sling your way up into platforms and stuff. And you got a gun and
nice.
You got upgrades to your gun and your health and everything else. And then your guy, you know. I can't remember what his name is, but he's got the whole, like, Goku hair with the fucking stash going on.
His name's Smokey Balls.
He looks kind of like a weird, I don't know, like 50-year-old hipster is what he looks like.
Smokey Balls.
But, he's got orange spiky hair and a mustache.
So
like
a douche canoe, basically.
He's a douche canoe. Yeah. He's got, like a douchebag mustache, like... Senior Snake, you know, and I don't like that army style mustache. It's really short and cut at the corners, you know.
Yeah,
with, you know, nothing else going on. It makes you look like a douchebag. I'm sorry for anybody listening.
I'll stop wearing it that way.
It grates me a weird way.
So I stopped growing mustaches. When I was younger, I actually had a mustache. I had a goatee, and then I shaved off and went with the mustache. And I was
just
like,
the mustache?
Yeah, I was like, nobody rocks a stash anymore, you know? So I grew a stash back, and I had it going pretty good. It looked like Wyatt Earp, you know? I was just like, this is pretty cool. It's just it started, like, bugging my nose, and I constantly twitch my nose, you know?
So it's had that whole, like, mustache moving around thing,
yeah.
Kind of like the old silent films?
Yeah, just...
And Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin, and it's kind of annoying.
It's kind of sad that nobody can rock the Charlie Chaplin anymore.
I know, because it gets the wrong connotation. <Yeah. laughs> It's like, you fucking Nazi? No, I'm a Chaplin fan, I swear. You know?
So, like Charlie Chaplin, I...
Well, he played Hitler, I'm going to kick your ass anyway. Yeah, it kind of sucks. Is that actually used to be a huge mustache back in the day? That was actually a very trendy, huge mustache.
That was the mustache of the 30s and
40s. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And
well,
you
until people looked at Hitler and like,
yeah.
Well, I'm not going to look like Hitler.
It sucks that he ruined the mustache. I don't care about everything else, but he ruined the mustache for everybody.
I was having an interesting conversation with a an online friend of mine, winemaker Joe, and me and him were talking about the stash, and I guess he has a friend of his who has a father-in-law or a father that's named Adolf.
You know,
he's an old dude. He's an old German dude too. So it's like, how does that work in today's society?
Well, that's a common name. But,
it is a common name, but you really can't name your kids Adolf anymore.
I think for a week, I'm going to grow one of the old half stash. I'm going to grow one.
You're going to get the weirdest looks, dude.
I'm going to grow one.
Actually,
My girlfriend's over there grabbing her head going, no.
You might actually be able to pull it off because they can't really call you a white supremacist since you're Indian.
Well, I am half German and half Hindi, so yeah. So
call yourself a Hindi supremacist?
I'm a Zen Nazi is what it is. So, which is kind of true. I don't like people to interrupt me when I'm in my piece, and I get really pissed when they do. But yeah.
You're a Zen Nazi and you like Dead Space.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to rock the half stash.
If you're saying it on here, you're going to have to do it.
I'm going to do it. Do I have enough right now? I haven't looked in the mirror.
No, not yet.
Okay, yeah, I got to grow it out. Okay. I haven't looked in the mirror today. It's kind of sad.
Are you gonna grow everything out and then just trim it, or are you just going to...
Yes, I'm going to let this all come out, and then when I shave next, I'm going to rock the half stash for at least one full work week. Five days.
You better post some pictures.
So, I'm going to. As for if it's going to be during the work week or actually into the weekend, I'll decide then.
Are you
going
to go to school like that?
I don't know. That's the question right there, because that's why I said the work week at least, because my night class for film is on Wednesdays, so I might shave it Wednesday night when I get home and just rock it the rest of the week. I haven't decided yet.
So you're not going to go out in public?
No, I ain't going to go out in public. I just don't want to go anywhere where I have to go again later on and people see me. So I might go ahead and grow it out for class. When I get there, it'll be a conversation piece for about 10 minutes. And I'll just be like, it's for a thing. So, and then I'll have to educate them that the half stash was way popular.
It started with Charlie Chaplin.
Sort of. It was actually popular even before him. But
he made it popular.
Yeah, I could probably go with that. But rocking the half stash. But I will do that. I will rock the half stash. And then, just to go a little bit of normality, how about I rock a regular mustache and then I turn it into a half stash? So I will do... I'll do a mustache.
So you're going to go from a Magnum to a...
To an Adolf.
Yeah.
How about that? And I will get some pictures. She's saying no. She's like shaking her head going no. So sorry, honey. But we're gonna have some fun with this. So okay. Let's go ahead and move on to some news. I know next week's news will be, Trent died. He got killed. So, I wonder what my neighbors are going to think.
I got to worry about what they think.
Okay, so tell me, Justin, what's the news for the week?
Well, I did a little bit of research here. We just touched toes.
Like 2 minutes of research.
No, I've been looking at stuff. But I usually look at stuff for the day. And that's really disturbing.
What?
Yeah. I'm not going into
it. I was doing the little Hitler stash on my fingers.
Maybe a scout's honor.
I was just smelling my fingers.
So a lot of people out there are looking forward to Homefront here next month.
Oh, yeah.
They moved that. It's going to be released March 15th instead of the 8th. So they had a little bit of a delay.
Birthday present.
You want Homefront?
I don't know. I haven't decided.
It's a really interesting game. I'm usually the person that harps on not liking the modern first-person shooter that much for lots of reasons.
Because it's reality-based.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because it's reality and not fantasy-based, and it's to me that's kind of boring.
I only like shooting people if I know they're not real.
So, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. But anyways, it looks interesting because it's the whole, North Korea invades the U.S., and I think that might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
On the flip side of things, one of my personal favorites from last year, actually, Minecraft, has a portable product out. It is not made by Notch. It's being released by I'm trying to remember who it was called. Let me look here. Oh, the game developer called Robots and Pencils. And basically what it is, it's a knockoff of Minecraft that lets you import your level that you made over to your iPad or iPhone, and lets you explore the world. Now, the thing about this, it doesn't have survival mode in it, so I'm not sure what the point is, and I don't know if you can actually edit anything. So if you import your world, what's the big deal? Are you just going to go around and explore for a little bit, or what? So it has to have some kind of level editor in it, otherwise it wouldn't really be that fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, though, that it's not an official licensed product by them. But so far, all the reports seem to point towards the fact that the original developer of the game is kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
And he said that you can make money off a independent product inspired by the game. And since it's not directly copying the game, I mean, you are importing a map, but it doesn't have that survival mode thing or the multiplayer thing in it, then I guess he's okay with it. And it's only $3. So
yeah,
if people have their Minecraft worlds that they want to explore on their phone, then maybe you should try it out. Tell us what you think.
Well, on a phone, it's a pretty ingenious idea to do. You can't edit it, though, right?
I wasn't 100% sure. I saw some screenshots that looked like they had a little wrench icon, so maybe you could, but I don't know. It's still something extremely new, and I don't have an iPad, so I wouldn't
know.
Then
you find out if well, you know, what you need to find out is if you can edit on the phone, and if so, if you're able to import your map back into Minecraft once you've made edits. Because that would be interesting if it's kind of a portable way of editing and then bringing it back.
I don't know if that would work, because part of the fun of that is surviving at night while you're editing.
And yeah.
It would almost feel like a cheat if you did that.
Yeah, it would be, but some people still want to know and do it, so.
Well, and I guess you do cheat a lot in that game with all the different things you can do and all the custom interfaces that people have made with it. But anyways, enough about Minecraft.
Good.
Back onto Minecraft. There is actually a mod out right now that is a Predators mod for Minecraft. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really fucking cool. So, just throwing that out
there.
What
does it do?
It reskins everything, basically.
Nice.
And I think it gives you some of the weapons. So, like, the skin for the Predator was looked like little icons and stuff like that on the bottom of the screen.
Nice.
Which I thought that was hella creative. One of the things I wanted to go ahead and talk about here real briefly is Bulletstorm, actually.
Yep.
And the reason I want to talk about Bulletstorm is it is one of these things that is kind of taking away from the COD Ops kind of montage of having a realistic shooter. Let's do something totally fucking ridiculous. And I think it'll work. I played the demo. The demo wasn't bad. Gave me an idea of some of the things that you could do. And I had some satisfaction to it, so I'm kind of excited about that. But they made a game called Duty Calls, and which I think is kind of funny. You can download it for free off their website. And I'm sure if you Google Duty Calls, you'll probably pull up the free website that Epic put out. But some of the stuff that I found on the information for that is that it slows down the action so that you can unload a storm of bullets. You get immersive dialogue from the front lines. You get cold, calculated realism in this demo. The killing animations were motion captured from real actors
being killed.
Yeah. Being killed for real.
Yeah.
They give you a true life reloading system that allows for mistakes putting the cartridge in the gun. So when you're fucking up, you really could fuck up while you're reloading. There's a lot of really, really big production into the sound effects, so it sounds just like that M16 that you used in Iraq.
Thwart any enemy threat that could topple the country and possibly the world.
Yeah. And you got some significant and historically accurate props.
So what, they have an accurate 80s vibrator?
I guess. So, one of the things they're playing
colored.
On is that this is the formula for all of these games.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of gotten a little ridiculous lately with, you know, like the whole reloading system. And,
yeah.
You know, I played Far Cry. I really liked Far Cry.
Yeah, the reloading on that was fun because you could fuck up and you had to...
Well, the
it,
whole, like,
know.
Digging the bullet out of your leg kind of thing was pretty cool.
But
I'm
but
getting really fucking sick of the whole one-headshot kill thing.
Oh, like Halo?
Well, Halo, there's a little bit. You got to knock down the shields.
No, you can do a one-shot head kill.
Yeah, if you have the sniper rifle.
No, pistol.
Really?
Yeah. Any weapon you've got that's a single-shot weapon, you can kill somebody with one headshot. It's just a matter of aiming properly.
Where do you hit them for a single headshot kill?
Right between the eyes and the forehead.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Really fucking hard to do. You and I can pop and do a Halo game one time, and I'll stand there and I'll show you. Yeah. You got to have dead fucking aiming with it.
Well, anyways, I'm sick of the games where you run into a lot of these games, and it's just one-shot kill most of the time, all the time.
Yeah. It's like Golden Gun.
It's so fucking realistic. It's just not fun.
Yeah.
And I like a little bit of non-reality in my video gaming. Just why I like stuff like BioShock or BioShock 2. Or, you know.
BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, BioShock Infinite. Or Fallout for
yeah, Fallout's really fun with it when your limbs blow off.
Yeah, I just it's one of those things where Bulletstorm promises to be way over the top.
Yeah,
looks like it's starting to deliver on that, and it looks generally fun. There's nothing more satisfying to me in a video game when you see your points go all over the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I really like that. I don't know. Like one of the things that I liked about when I played WoW a lot. Mm-hmm. Is you could see all the damage or the healing or whatever in these just big scores and numbers. Like, there are different mods to, like, even make it even more video gamey.
Yeah.
And I really like all the numbers on the screen, you know, for whatever reason. It's like
it keeps
a score.
Me interested and focused.
Well, just, you know, it's just like Sonic and the Rings, you know? Like, or Mario and the Coins.
Yeah.
There's something about score
attack. It's rewarding. It's rewarding.
It is. It's satisfying. Yeah. To have those numbers.
Well, it's just like with ODST, you know, with the Grunt Birthday Party, it's rewarding. You're just like, yay, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, the confetti.
Yeah, or even whenever you headshot and take down an elite and the number comes up and you're like, nice, and you just keep going through and then there's also the guy talking, which is very rewarding when he's like, kill Trocity, and you're like,
And Bulletstorm kinda is pulling that off.
Like, yeah, I played a little
like
bit
a voodoo
of it.
Doll. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I played a little bit of it on your console when you were looking around the internet, and I was getting into it.
Yeah,
it
I could hear. Cool. Well, it was on mute, and you were just breathing really funny.
Yeah,
I was like, "What is he doing behind me?" That was kind of freaking me out. You're breathing really shallow and quick.
Yeah. I was like really getting into it. So.
And the demo wasn't great, but like I said, it showed you like the potential behind the game.
Yeah, it had a couple ganky parts, but it was pretty cool.
Well, it was made just as a demo, and I think that was kind of cool.
No, I liked it. I liked the leash where they have this trigger button where you can actually grab an enemy with this electro leash, very very S&M, and pull him towards you or throw him up in the air or even bring down a giant, what was it, if you sit there and you keep holding it down, it does this, like, massive energy spike that just slams down the ground and kills them.
Yeah, well, it throws them up in the air, and then they're in the air, they're in slow-mo.
Yeah.
And it's not slow-mo like Matrix or something like that. It's just, they go into slow-mo if they're launched into the air, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're the only ones that go into slow-mo. Everybody else is going normal speed. And it lets you pull off, like, you can actually kick people.
Yeah,
who are in the air, and if you kick them and push them away from you and then shoot them right in the head, you get, like, surgeon. And
what was
if you
the
shoot
one
in the
called
back
you shot
of the
him
head,
right in the ass?
That's called rear entry.
Rear entry, I liked rear entry.
Which I thought was fantastic.
Well, and it promises to be really, really over the top. And so I think it'll be really interesting to see how it ends up going with that thing, you know?
Nice. What else do you got on the news?
Honestly, there's not a whole lot more left on the news. I think it'll be... Actually, hold on just a second. Let me look here real quick.
Okay.
Well, it's over here on the monitor, and I can't scroll down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a wireless mouse.
Where are you at?
There we go. I was actually going to talk a little bit about Crysis, too.
Oh, okay.
So I downloaded the demo, and I was able to get into a match, and then I tried to get back in again, and it wouldn't work.
Oh, wait, one thing you forgot about. Minecraft has also got a Halo mod. You said Predator.
Yeah, I did say Predator. I forgot about the Halo mode. Or Halo mod.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks pretty kick-ass.
Nice.
Anyways, no, Crysis 2. They had the Xbox 360 demo for it, which ended up being pretty broken. Not everybody can log into it at all. Like, you get to load into a match, and it dies.
That sucks.
So, and being a PC port, I don't know if it's a true PC port, that doesn't really fare well for the game. I think it'll look good. I think it should be cool. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really look good on them to have a broken-ass demo out there.
Yeah.
What I'm actually more interested in, though, is actually the PC specs on the game. Because if you remember...
Stop touching my feet.
I can't help it. They're right there. Like bear claws.
Yeah.
Anyways, derailing a little bit. Crysis 2... Or Crysis 1, back, what, 3 or 4 years ago it came out. And remember everybody was bitching about how much of a spec hog it was.
Yeah.
And it, granted, it was a benchmark game, but I don't know if that did so well for the sales for the game because...
I passed it up.
I passed it up, too. Yeah. I was like, I got a pretty kick-ass PC. I can't buy it. I just bought a $400 video card, and I can't play this game. What the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know, which I'm still using right now, actually. But, yeah, what was that? Read off some of the specs on that.
Okay.
What was the original?
For Crysis 1, yeah, it was an Intel Pentium 4 2.8 gigahertz for XP and 3 gigahertz for Vista. The memory, surprisingly, was only a gig of RAM for XP. 2 gigs for Vista. Hard space was 12 fucking gigs of space. That's like Warcraft right there. Graphics was a DirectX 9, regular usual shit, with 256 megabyte VRAM. Audio was the usual. Let's see, internet connection. Yeah, that was basically what it was back then. And
in 2007.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the minimum requirements, too. Like, I picked this up recently. My card's been having some overheating issues. Granted, it's some little recorder right now. It's an 8800 GTS.
Yeah.
But it has some major overheating issues right now. And then every time I pop that game in, fucking crashes in 5 minutes. Still. Well, and it's fucking 4 years old.
It's almost like when Omicron came out for PC, the David Bowie video game. I mean, that thing ran like shit on every fucking computer.
Except for
nothing.
Dreamcast.
Well, no, that was the exception. But, of course, you had to load every couple fucking footsteps for the most part, like once you got through a section. But that was understandable for systems back then. But on PC, that thing would not run fucking period. It was and when you look at the specs nowadays, you're just like, wow, that was advanced back then. You know,
like 256 megs of RAM.
Yeah. It was just like, actually, I think it was like 500 megs or something like that. Gig preferably, I can't remember, but I remember that the processor,
nobody had a gig back then.
I don't remember. I think it was like 500 megs though, but I remember that the processor speed was the thing that totally killed it. That's what fucked it all up. And so I played on Dreamcast.
It was actually pretty fun on Dreamcast.
Yeah, really fun on Dreamcast. Then I got it for PC, and at that point it was 6 years after its release, and it ran just fine at that point. But no computer could really run. Most people's computers could not run it back then. But now we look at where we are for 2011.
4 years later.
Yeah, for Crysis 2, and it's XP Vista and Windows compatible. That's good. You're looking at only an Intel Core 2 Duo 2 gigahertz.
Yeah.
So, and an AMD Athlon 64-bit times 2, of course, you know, 2 gigahertz or better. You got an NVIDIA GeForce 8800 GT 512 megabyte.
You know what's funny about that?
It's not bad.
It's on the card right above that now.
Yeah.
And that's a 4-year-old card.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
3 or 4 year old card.
Yeah. Or you got an ATI AMD Radeon 3850 HD with 512 megabytes. Not bad. Memory is only 2 gigs of RAM, which is really good. So they bumped it up, but that's understandable. Hard drive space, huh?
But looking at these specs right here,
mm-hmm.
any computer you get out of the box will play this.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, the memory, like, says 2 gigs of RAM. The hard drive space is only 9 gigs, so they actually dropped it down, like, 3 gigs, which, with the new computer systems, like Windows, you know, 7, it can handle memory and stuff a lot better. Anyway, works with an Xbox 360 controller for Windows, which is nice. Yeah, they really kind of toned it down. So,
I like how this whole business of being able to use my Xbox controller on my PC.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
you just like fucking playing a Steam game, just drag my controller over and plug it in.
That's the only reason I want to get the Tron controller. It's because it's wired.
Yeah, that's why I picked up that wired one the other day.
Yeah, because he picked up was it Afterglow?
Yeah, I picked up an Afterglow.
From
I picked
PDP,
up
PDP, which is the same guys that make the Tron one.
You've heard some really shitty reviews on it. I have yet to experience anything bad.
Yeah.
After I got the sensitivity was a little fucked, but I got used to it. And
that was one of the main bitches was the sensitivity and the headphone jack burning out. That was the only thing. That's about all I really heard. Oh,
well,
phone signals fuck up the lights.
Well, that's another interesting thing. I don't have a cell phone right now.
Yeah, because you threw it away at Chick-fil-A. So, we were trying to call a cell phone to figure out where it was. It was like, you know, please wait while we locate that subscriber. We figured out that it was actually compacted into little pieces by that point. So,
yeah, so I'm waiting on a cell phone in the mail right now.
Way to go. Yeah, but you bought the Afterglow, and I bought the Halo Edition. The actual licensed Xbox controller, and I love that thing to death. It's great.
Yeah, I picked it up the other day. It actually feels really good.
Oh, yeah. It's gameplay-wise.
I don't know if it feels $60 good, but...
No, it's good, man. I'll give it that. It's got a hell of a good battery on it.
You paid $40 more for your controller than I did for mine.
Yeah, but I'm pretty happy with it, to be honest with you. The Tron controller I want has nothing but really good reviews, and it's wired. And it sucks because I need to call that store to find out if they found it or not, because I found one of the only stores in Tulsa that still had one on their system file, but they couldn't find it in the store. So he's like, I'll call you when we find it. So I need to find out if they found that or not. Because the only other way I can get it is through, I'm not going to say where, but through another place. But I have to buy Tron and the controller for like $98.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I will if I have to, because I want to get Tron anyways, because I played it. I like it a lot. I wouldn't mind having it. I didn't want to spend more than $20 on it. So, but, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm not going to pay $300 for the orange Tron controller, although I really do want it. I'll just crack the thing open and replace the LED lights. So I'll turn it into an orange controller or a red one. Oh, hey, there's a, yeah.
It'd be kind of cool, actually.
Maybe a white one. It's a white. Yeah.
I had to get kind of bright.
Actually, it's pretty nice. It's not too...
It's kind of subtle.
It's not too invasive, so yeah. But anyways, so well, that's what you got on there for Crysis. I think you had some other stuff up here about Bungie.
Yeah, Bungie, it kind of looks like they intentionally didn't reveal Master Chief's origin, and I think that's kind of a cool thing.
What is it?
They intentionally didn't release Master Chief's origin.
Yeah.
So it kind of stays with them.
Oh, they're not going to ever say
no.
All right, so Lucas.
They're leaving it up. They're leaving it up to the next developers to try to figure that out.
Oh, nice. So they're gonna leave it up to the 434 Spark or whatever the hell they need to vet. The dev team that did the comic books and Halo Waypoint and Halo Wars are the ones.
All the Halo that sucked.
Yeah, all the Halos that's kind of are the ones doing the new Halo stuff. So they're probably gonna have them be a half Covenant, half human hybrid, which would be oh god, I can't believe I just put that idea out there.
They're fuck that
shit.
Well, you know, what's funny is, like, the thing is, like, Call of Duty, it, like, changes hands all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those IPs change.
But there's
change.
No carrying story, for the most part.
I know. And the thing about Bungie's, you know, Halo series is it's been one of those things the fans have been getting into the fan fiction of it, really following the story.
Yeah,
the
Netflix
games that aren't...
has the Halo Legends DVD on there now.
Well, and you could get... I downloaded it off Xbox Live, too.
Yeah.
But, it's one of those things where... Like, I think people are fans of the fiction as well as the game, and, I mean, out of the podcast, mainly me and you are the ones that are Halo fans. And
except for Scott when he comes on.
Yeah.
And John. John plays it here and there. He really likes Reach.
Actually, he's been getting more people into Reach, actually, which I thought was
John,
pretty commendable. Yeah.
Nice.
He, Boston from TVGP was not really big into it for a while.
Now John just needs to get good at it.
And John sucked him into playing it with, not playing it with him per se, but just sucked him into giving a little bit of a go every campaign or, you know, every map.
Yeah.
And he's actually been saying, yeah, it's actually a pretty good game.
What's sad is I'm really good at Halo. And you're pretty good at Halo, but when you and I went into that ranked match by accident that one night,
yeah, we sucked balls,
dude. We got our asses like.
Well, there are Halo pros.
I know, but that was just they stopped killing us just to give us a chance, and I felt so bad. I was just finish me, dude.
I just felt
it.
Like an asshole.
Actually, I did get one of them with the rocket launcher. He thought he was being clever, and I was jetpacked, and I was on top of that big area. You're not supposed to be on top of there. And I watched him run. And I was crouched down. I watched him run along the fucking path underneath me. I just jumped up in the air, and as I'm falling towards him, bam! I didn't want to use a jetpack because I didn't want to hear it. And so right when I was like right above his head, bam, blew him up and killed myself too, but I felt good about it. I felt really good about
suicide
it.
Suicide kill. Didn't count for a point,
yeah,
though.
But I was like, I finally got that motherfucker, and I felt really good about it. But they were like headshotting us from all the way across the fucking... Oh, I was getting so pissed off.
That's not the Halo I usually like to play. I usually like to play with a bunch of other idiots.
Yeah. I have my group I play with, like Finney and all them, and what are you laughing about over there? Oh, sorry, she's looking at her phone. I thought she was laughing at us. Anyways, but I have my group I like to play with, and we do lots of fun. Like, even Dennis gets on there, and if you can get past him yelling cunt every 5 seconds, he's a pretty good player, too. Scott...
Mr. Artisan 002.
He's pretty fun, man. He's pretty fun when you go into Rumble Pit. It's just me, Scott, and Dennis all against each other.
Scott's actually a really solid player.
Yeah, and
he needs one match to warm up. I usually need about 4 or 5 matches to warm up.
I've owned his ass in Rumble Pit pretty much every time. But he's good, though.
If
he's got a lot of spirit.
If you put him on a team with you, though, he's usually a pretty solid player.
Yeah, if he knows the map, he's a pretty solid player. That's the trick. He's got to know the map, and... he's got to know the locations and stuff. And if you tell him where something is, he if you go like, oh, it's over in the big circular area, and he goes, oh, okay, I know where that is. So even if it's a map he hasn't ever been on. And so he's a really good solid player to play with. And at least this time, you know, he doesn't have to sit there and look at weapon specs for 3 minutes before he decides to pick something up, because playing Borderlands with him got really fucking tiresome after a while. So yeah, when it's a late night, we're trying to just get some missions in, and he's like, hold on. And you just see him staring down, and he's going through his inventory.
That. I was actually going to pick up Borderlands. So, I picked up the new expansion for it.
No, you finally got Robo Revolution?
Yeah, I need
it's
to
pretty
play
cute.
It.
Pretty cute. Pretty fun. Yeah, I still haven't beaten it. I haven't gone back, because I got tied up with some other, I forgot what new game it was. I got tied up with that. Oh, Tron. I did a review.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I got tied up with Tron. But yeah,
not a whole lot of news today. I mean, the big things I think that we're looking forward to is going to be next month. I mean, of course, this month we got Marvel vs. Capcom coming out and Bulletstorm. But next month is going to be a bigger month for games. And I think April yeah. is when Portal comes out, isn't it?
Yeah, April 15th or something like that is when that one comes out. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. L.A. Noire doesn't come out till May, I think. But
yeah, but in May we got Duke Nukem that
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, and then Deus Ex is still just listed as being in the first quarter, but they haven't said. So I don't know. I finally did read something from them that said that they postponed it to release it alongside Dragon's Age and L.A. Noire, so it is going to be at the beginning of this year. It is going to be.
They really shouldn't release it at the same time as those games.
I know, they shouldn't, but they have nothing else coming out, so they want to put it out to try and compete. I don't think they should compete. I think they should put it out by itself.
Because people are going to sit there and choose and be like, which one do I want to play?
I think it's a proving grounds thing. I think they want to see if they can win over Deus Ex old fans from new titles that are coming out.
I'd play both, but here's my thing about that. It's just, okay, so I'm playing Dragon's Age again, mm-hmm. and I went going back through the original story for like probably my 10th time. I mean, yeah. I've played it a lot, and it's such a fucking solid game. When it comes to the story, the voice acting, you actually care about your characters. yeah, I mean, you actually give two shits. The voice acting is actually fairly good, too.
Yeah.
But now they're going to go the way of Mass Effect 2 and streamline the game. Streamline some of the stuff that took a while, like the inventory, which was a big deal in Dragon's Age. It just took you forever to figure out, well, I got all this shit that I want to sell.
Mass Effect was the same way. The first one, the inventory was fucking ridiculously insane. Because you had to keep going through the long list, delete something or sell it.
Well, at least they have a
top of the list.
They have a junk folder, basically, for your inventory, and you can put move to junk. And so you can move all this stuff to junk and then sell all junk, and that's cool. But when you got all these like B items in your inventory that you're never going to use, it doesn't make any sense. Like, reward me when it's worth it. Give me money when it's, you know, it's just a lootable.
Well,
don't give me vendor trash.
It's like one of the only benefits of playing Mass Effect on PC I can see is mods.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some good mods for that.
Because there's definitely got to be an inventory mod out there that helps streamline your inventory to make it easier to go through and sell stuff. And I wish that they would. That's one thing I don't like, is that some titles go back on Xbox and they release updates that actually fix, you know, like gamer bitches that they've actually taken the time to read about. And then some titles, they don't even fuck with it. Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up, though, is like just looking at the new art direction for the new game and looking at how everything looks. What are you doing? Fucking distracting me. It looks like a better game. Trent is fucking like, deep throating his mic here. Ah, oh, Jesus, that's disgusting.
It's like it's spraying all over me.
But
I'm
kind of loopy right now. Kind of sick and everything else. But no, I'm excited about it because it looks like they've streamlined all the stuff that took you a lot of time.
Yeah.
And then they're giving you a good story to boot with good acting. A centralized character that'll be speaking this time and versus reading lots of text.
Yeah, they're saying goodbye to the silent heroes, it seems.
I know. And
yeah.
There's
like,
good
like a lot of game companies are.
Well, you remember the conversation system from Mass Effect?
Yeah.
They're trying to bring that into Dragon Age.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that'll be...
That's probably one of the best conversation like dialogue systems I've ever seen, because I just love the way it works.
Like,
it's a pain in the ass when you're trying to speed it really quick, like you're trying to skip through the dialogue and the person's talking, like the person you're talking to is talking, and you keep skipping through the dialogue, then it takes you to your menu really fast, and you hit the skip button or the select button, and it goes in and selects the wrong answer. Like, well, I'm gone. I'll see you later. You're like, no! And you have to start all over again. I always wish they would have switched the buttons around in dialogue to where one was skip, one was select, and, you know, that way you're not hitting the wrong button every time.
Well, the interesting thing is, like, they did that with Two Worlds where you had, like, X and Y as your selections for different things. And then, but B was always next.
Yeah.
B would never be anything else. And so you'd have all these different options where you'd push a button to select it instead of using a cursor.
Yeah.
But B was always skip or more.
See, it's,
and
it's
so you never fucked up.
Yeah. See, it's those little things right there that they need to take a look at. You know, that would be something worth putting into future releases.
I mean, granted, Dragon's Age isn't going to let me stand on top of two dead bodies and not get hit.
Yeah.
But they could learn a little thing or two from some of these indie developers.
Yeah, but the conversation thing is my biggest piss off, because, like, when you're going through Tally's court hearing in the second game.
Jesus Christ.
And, I mean, I was masterful at that. Not only did I bring the Legion Gek with me onto the flotilla just to cause issues.
You mean the Gith?
Yeah.
You said Gek.
Oh, sorry. I brought him on there for a reason, and that was because, and this is a fun one for anybody out there who hasn't done it, if you bring Legion with you, wait to do Tally's thing until you get Legion. Bring him with you onto the flotilla, and you can go and you talk to the heads of the Quarian race, all the people who make the decisions, and you can actually convince, like, two or three of the key members that the Geth are completely separated. There's the heretics, which are the ones that are helping the collectors, and then there's the regular Geth, and the Geth want nothing but peace. So it kind of sows a little seed there that I'm pretty sure is going to show up in part three if you had that conversation. And I'm very interested to actually have an army of Geth fighting with me against heretic Geth and the Reapers and the collectors. So I'm very interested to kind of see how that would
work
out.
That game's going to be phenomenal.
It is. I mean, just the amount of people that, you know, they have to bring back almost every cast member, like crew member from the first and second one. They have to.
Yeah, that's got to be a bitch to find all the voice actors for this.
You know what I feel really bad about is if you went through and say, like, you know, say so-and-so died, like say most of your crew died at the end of part two, because there's a way to get through with all of them alive, but say most of them died and you bring that game into part three, and like all these people who got paid lots of money and worked really hard to voice act aren't anywhere in the fucking game because you let them all die. So you're playing a video game that's really streamlined with just like one of your surviving crew members from part two, and the rest of them are all just binary saved on the disc because you let them die in the first game. All that's gone to waste. That would be kind of humorous.
Speaking of BioWare, since now you're going to get Hawk with Dragon Age, and he's basically just going to be Shepard.
Yeah.
I was talking with my friend David at work, and we've both agreed that we're just going to name him Shepard.
Nice.
Because that's basically what he's going to be.
Well, you should name him Clark. I gave you the Dead Space armor.
That's true, there's a lot of stuff they're integrating. I'm glad they're not taking it too seriously, but they got a whole adventure, it looked like, DLC adventure, and then they got the Isaac Clarke armor.
Yeah, which I gave you the Isaac Clarke armor because I got that with my Dead Space, and I don't really play Dragon's Age. I'm thinking about trying it out, part two at least, but I don't care if I have the armor
or
not.
Well, here's the nice thing about that
Unless
game.
There's an achievement for it, which if there is, then I want it. Just kidding, anyway.
No, the nice thing is they're doing something. It looks like to me it's going to be a totally different story.
Yeah.
Because they had the original, which was its own story, and then they had Awakening, which would let you carry over your last guy or create a new character. And if you created a new character, you're already in a different area to begin with. It worked out just fine.
Yeah.
And then the DLCs, I've been a little irritated with them because they're so short, about 2 hours apiece.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
But there's a lot of them. So, I mean, I think there's five of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little two-hour adventures. And
so
of course,
about 10 hours total, but you're paying for each one.
Well, and Awakening was almost a full-price game. When I bought it,
Yeah, that was like 30-something, wasn't it?
It's 30 bucks when I bought it.
Yeah.
And actually, it's 4,000 points.
It's almost, oh, God, dude, that's horrible. It's almost worth just waiting for a Game of the Year edition to come out.
Well, they brought it down to half price. I think it's, or more, less than that. I think it's 1,200 points right now.
That's like 12 bucks right there. 12, 13.
$15.
Yeah.
But it's a really long expansion. It's about 20 hours.
Jeez.
So, I mean, it's...
That's a little bit more appropriate then, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a game that's that long. That's pretty okay.
Yeah, but 4,000 fucking points for even a 30-hour DLC would kind of piss me off.
It's the fact... I think the part that a lot of people have a hard time getting past is it's a DLC.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is it's actually a full playable game.
Yeah, but it just kind of...
It's Dragon Age without as many side missions.
But at that point, you've already spent almost over $100 on this one game.
I have spent over $100 on it, and I didn't get the collector's edition.
Yeah, you got all the stuff. But I don't know. I'm very selective when it comes to collector's editions. Like, I'm still arguing with myself about whether to get the augmented edition of
Dead Space.
No, Deus Ex.
Oh, I'm probably going to get it.
It comes with an art book, which looks really good. It comes with an extra mission, comes with some extra weapons and stuff, and it's actually not that more expensive. It's like $79.
I'm kind of irritated with Dragon Age because there's a collector's edition that's basically the same price.
Talk about the new Dragon's Age?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's no extras with it. Like, the last one came with a cloth map.
No, yeah.
And I wanted a cloth map.
Yeah, from what I saw with the new Dragon's Age collectors, it's mainly all in-game editions that you get.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of cool, but... I like stuff that's actually actually tangible.
Yeah.
Like my Halo, you know,
Or the heroic chips, edition. Or, yeah, you got that journal and stuff and the pass card.
And the fucking patch. And
yeah. See, I'm actually planning on buying one of those collector's edition, which they go down in price a little bit to about $50. I'm going to grab one.
It's well worth it. They packed a lot of shit in there.
Yeah. It's like the BioShock collectors for two. Oh,
man,
that's
gorgeous, man. You know, that's actually one of the... There was somebody making a big deal about that because... That was one of the, like, the biggest deals with collector's editions that came out in the last couple of years, actually.
Yeah, it had a fucking vinyl in it.
Had a vinyl on it. It's got the original score on CD from the original game.
Yeah.
It's got posters in it, and it had... what else did it have with it?
Oh, God. It had Making of, I believe.
Yeah, and an art book.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the art book. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
I was actually thinking about putting the art book on our coffee table, but...
No, nice.
But it's... it came with a lot of stuff. I mean, granted, I paid an arm and a leg for it. Remember? Yeah. Release day, I spent, what, $100?
Yeah, then I got mine for $30 at Walmart brand new. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, but even, like, 3 months after it came out, it was already down to, like, $40.
No, so. It was down to the regular game price.
Yeah, but it was funny. But it's like with Fallout. Fallout 3. This is like Fallout New Vegas Collector's Edition.
You got the poker chips.
You got card deck poker chips, making of DVD. You got an actual comic book. Great stuff, and you got the giant platinum chip. And then when you go back to
that case, it looks like it's made out of leather too.
Oh yeah, I have it right behind you on my thing over there. But and then you had the Fallout 3 release, which was the lunchbox with the bobblehead and the fucking can opener. Yeah, so the bottle opener for Nuka-Cola and all that, and you know, it was actually a magnet. You know, and that was really cool stuff.
Well, even with BioWare Mass Effect 2 Special Edition, it came in the tin case.
Yeah,
had the comic book that came with it too.
Yeah.
And a game with the Cerberus Network, which was a 1,200-point download.
Yeah, yeah.
For free.
Which, that actually came with the regular edition.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, the Cerberus Network.
If you got, what was it, first run, if you got it on the first run? Or?
Dude, I finally went out and bought Mass Effect 2, because I borrowed yours. And I finally went out and bought it, like, how long ago? Like, two and a half months ago?
Oh,
and
that's
it,
right.
It still had a Cerberus Network card. The ones at Walmart that are on display have a Cerberus Network. They all have Cerberus Network cards. It's just if you get it without that...
So basically, if you buy it new, you get that. But if you buy it used, you're not going
to
get that card.
You got to pay the extra points to get the Cerberus Network card. Which Cerberus Network, I think there was like some extra armor it gave you access to, or weapons.
Yeah, and it also gave you access to the Zaid.
But you can buy those individually as well without going through the Cerberus Network.
Well, yeah. For obvious reasons, if you buy it used, but. I think it's kind of a nice bonus.
Yeah, because I actually own like all the DLCs for that, and. Beat them all. They're fun as fuck. And some of them have some good link to them. And a lot of them...
Overseer was pretty long.
Yeah, Overseer was pretty long. The Shadow Broker was one of my favorites because it, you know, it had a lot of just cool things.
You know, I'm ashamed to say that I didn't get to beat that.
You didn't beat that? It's awesome. It's actually pretty cool.
You know why that is I was going through my third playthrough and I was just like, man, I'm Mass Effected out.
Yeah, I stopped. I actually have to go back through everything again mid this year to get prepped up for Mass Effect 3 release so I can have the perfect game.
I kind of figured that's what I was going to do this summer.
Yeah.
Was I was going to go back through all the Mass Effect shit.
Yeah, I'm debating on if I want to start from part one because I had a really good one character that I played over.
I probably ought to be honest with you, because we can go through that diorama together.
Yeah, I might skip part one, so if I do, you can just use my copy because I have a really solid... Mass Effect 1 character that I brought over, because I ended the game on Paragon with a fuck ton of money and everything done very well.
Well, see, I ended it with a soldier, and I had to import my soldier back over. And remember, I was really bitching about that. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to play as a soldier,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
it lets you choose your own class.
Yeah.
So I might play it as a soldier, because that's the fastest way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, or it can be.
Because
yeah.
the Adept was a lot better in 2 than it was in 1.
I think I played as a... I think it was a Sentinel. I can't remember.
I played as the Vanguard.
It might have been Vanguard. I know I had Warp, and I had Push, and...
Did you have the shotgun skill, or the...
I did not have
shotgun.
Oh,
the Sentinel
had
the
armor. I
had
assault rifle, and I had armor.
Yeah, that's
so
the Sentinel.
I think I played as a Sentinel, and I loved it, because that Warp is great for bringing down armor, and once you barrier, and once you do, you can just sit there and hit them with fucking Push and knock people off. If you're on, like, a high building or something, just knocking the fuck off, and it really helps when you're doing the final boss fight. That's actually what helped me get through it, was bringing down all of the collector's shields and then just fucking using Push constantly and telling... I think I had Miranda with me and having her cast Warp, because that actually does a lot of damage to their health anyways. And then I had... I think I tried it with a number of different people until I had a really good solid thing. And I think I had Legion with me, and I used him as the sniper to basically headshot guys. So... And that really helped me out with bringing everything down in the end. So, but yeah. So I think we're going to go ahead and move on to upcoming releases.
Yeah, we ought to move on to upcoming releases since we're basically talking about them already. We'll throw some dates out there.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got this month right now? Well, we're going to have the Bionic Commando Rearmed coming out, and that's going to be for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Well, that's out today.
That's actually, yeah, that actually came out, but good luck getting it, I guess.
Why?
People in our area and off to the East Coast. All the snow. So.
No, it's that's the XBLA game.
That's the XBLA one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, never mind. Okay, never mind. Have fun. Unless your internet's down, so my statement still stands.
Well, if their internet's down, they're not listening to us.
Yeah. Call of Duty Black Ops First Strike map pack is coming out for 360.
I forgot to mention that. You know, we were talking about it at work yesterday, and I'm not a COD Ops fan, but they were talking like, well, Snowmageddon's going to happen, and it's what great timing, because we're going to play a lot of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's like, you play Call of Duty, you better not call in tomorrow.
No joke, yeah. Let's see. We've got Earthrise, which comes out just in a couple days. That's for PC. Also,
I haven't heard shit about that.
Yeah, neither have I. Also for PC, we're going to have Shadow Harvest Phantom Ops coming out. That actually came out, I think, today. So let's go ahead and move into some consoles here. For Nintendo DS and PlayStation... No, sorry, for Nintendo DS, we got Naruto Shippuden Shinobi Rumble.
So I guess it's a ninja game?
Yeah, I guess. It's Naruto or whatever.
Naruto.
Yeah.
Oh, that's anime, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about anime.
PlayStation 3, we got Hyper Dimension Neptunia.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's see. We've got Mario Sports Mix coming out in a few days for the Wii.
Yeah, another Sunday release by Wii.
Yes, by Nintendo. Way to go with your Sunday. Breaking the rules. Kind of crazy stuff and all that. And I think actually...
there's a lot of people looking forward to Tactics Ogre on the PSP this year, too.
Yeah, let's see.
They got a pretty kick-ass special edition for it. I actually wish I had a PSP for that.
Nice.
What day did that come out on?
Which one?
Tactics Ogre. I think it comes out here in 2 weeks.
I can't even see. I got everything written down. All kinds of weird. Tactics Ogre's PSP. That's going to be supposed to be coming out somewhere mid-February, about the 15th or so.
So 2 weeks from now, that comes out along with Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
For PlayStation and Xbox.
Which will be a huge-ass release this month.
Yes. And then, let's see, Dungeons coming out for PC.
Actually coming out on a Thursday
via
Steam, which is weird. It's February 10th. I'm going to be reviewing that, and I should have my Two Worlds review actually up this week.
Nice. And I don't remember if I mentioned it, but Sniper Ghost Warrior for PlayStation 3. Let's see. We're going to have Ape Escape Fury coming out for PlayStation 3.
Did you say Furry or Fury?
No, Fury. I think it's a Fury just because, but it's Furry's Fury. So, yeah, we're going to have Trinity Souls of Zero for PlayStation 3 coming out this next week. Body and Brain Connection for Xbox 360. I have no fucking clue what that is, but, you know, it's one of those things that I'm sure it's going to be interesting, although I have not seen anything for it. So then we got the whole You Don't Know Jack collection coming out for Nintendo DS, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360.
Hey, Andrew's actually kind of excited about that.
I bet he is.
He really likes that game.
I'm sure he does. Two Worlds is coming out for PC this next
actually,
week.
That's wrong. That's been out on PC for over a month.
Oh, wow. I like relying on other people's information. Anyway, let's see. We got Test Drive Ultimate, Unlimited 2 coming out for Xbox 360, PC, and PS3. It's going to be a cross-platform release. Let's see. There it is. And we got another Hyperdimension Neptune coming out for PlayStation 3. So, and then the last one that's going to be heading out this month, that's the week after next, is EverQuest 2 Destiny of Velius.
Well, don't forget about Bulletstorm.
Oh, yeah. We're getting to that. So, Marvel vs. Capcom, mid-month, of course, 360, PlayStation 3. Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars is coming out for pretty much all platforms. I'm not a really huge fan of those, but, you know.
The Lego games, I'm just going to be honest with you. They feel like it's Lego-inspired. It looks cute. Looks really cool.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a game.
Nice. Duke Nukem got scrapped.
Had a critical mass coming out for DS, and I was actually looking into that when I was looking up my Duke Nukem stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it got turned into a different game altogether.
Yep. Yeah. Let's see. Bulletstorm, of course, PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, late February, about the 22nd or so. Killzone 3 for PlayStation 3 is also going to be coming out around then, and that's a pretty popular game.
Same day. That's kind of a bad release day.
Yeah, but that is a popular game, though, Killzone. I like the first one. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I played it.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood has PC release.
I thought it was already out.
That's what I thought.
But I guess it might not have been.
Yeah, it might not have been.
Because PC releases sometimes lag behind.
The box looks really cool. So, let's see.
You heard about Gun Loco?
That is about it, other than the Gun Loco right there for Xbox 360.
So. Don't know how I feel about it. It's like over-the-top characters all cel-shaded.
Uh-huh.
Doing a frag fest thing. You got a guy in with a bunny head, like a crazy redneck dude, and somebody else.
So it's like White Trash Donnie Darko running around killing everybody.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
It's looks kind of ridiculous, but I might try it out.
A lot of ridiculous games end up being fun, though.
So. That's true. Like Borderlands,
like Super Meat Boy. So
Super Meat Boy's gold.
Yeah, it looks ridiculous though, but it's fun. So that's what we got going on for game releases coming up. The Gauntlet is going to be
tomorrow night.
And what are we doing? We're doing some MNC.
We want to do MNC this week?
I think that's what we're going to...
Talk about that, didn't we?
Yeah, because we're going to do MNC, and then afterwards I was going to do some Dead Space multiplayer with anybody who's got it.
So if you're listening to this on Thursday, it's going to be on Thursday, which will be February the 3rd.
Which is Thursday.
Which is Thursday at, what, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, I think we push it back to 10 o'clock, yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be our new Gauntlet days, is Thursday nights.
Try something out new, because we kind of realize that people are doing stuff on Sunday. Sometimes you're recovering from your weekend and getting pissed off at us jackholes on the internet might not be the thing you want to do. So Thursday it is. We'll see how Thursday works out for all of you.
Yeah, and all you got to do is have Monday Night Combat and a headset, and a controller would help.
Fair enough.
Yeah, just add, just go on and find us. We got Nostalgia with a K. That name's on the website. And then my name is Gorgasm23, which you can also find on the website. Andrew is Red Sox Pride 13, and Holly is Like a Lady.
Yeah, and actually, I'll throw this out later.
Okay.
I was actually going to go on to some plugs, but I'm going to do that at the end.
Okay, nice. Nice. And now we go to our Claptrap Comedy Corner. Which I hate that query. There we go. The query.
We'll say query because that's the word I said.
Yeah. What was our
thing last week's? Actually, I had some submissions, and I know you did. But we had asked, which video game character would you want to be your stepdad, aka banger mom, and take you to baseball games?
Yeah, I found my post here. Okay.
You should pull mine up too.
Oh, geez, man. You're killing me.
I'm killing you because you're the only one with the PC here. And we decided to do it this way.
Yeah. We'll talk for a second while I do that, because we're a little unorganized tonight.
Yeah, and I apologize to everybody. You know, tonight was one of those things we were kind of thinking about it. We're like, should we do a podcast tonight or not? And I was like, no, we want to stay consistent.
it is Snowmageddon outside. We realize that it's not Snowmageddon everywhere, though. We know that half our podcast isn't going to be here. But, yeah, it's one of those things where we kind of had to throw some of this together. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of games out. We just wanted to be entertaining tonight and give something to our fans, and so that's why we ended up doing it.
Okay.
So, on that note, Trent.
All right, what do I
have?
What were
some of your responses?
Let's see. Okay, I put down what video game character would you not mind having as a stepfather? And Hardwood, she said Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell.
She wanted Sam Fisher?
He's pretty cool, dude. He's
a nice guy.
I'd take him. My response to
he's
it
got
was,
principles.
You know, nice choice. Dad with sticky cameras and airfoil rounds wins every time, you know. Lisa, my ex from a long time ago, she's a really, really cool girl, good friend. She put Dr. Robotnik.
That's kind of odd.
My statement to it was, you asking or telling, and I said, so you want a fat, overweight, mustache stepfather with Elton John glasses who likes throwing balls at you. I said, I can't say that I'm surprised. Jeff put down Captain William Eisen.
What game is that?
You don't know what game that's from?
Well, tell me.
Wing Commander.
Jesus Christ, yeah. That's a ways back.
Yeah, my comment to him was, of course you would go with Wing Commander. So.
Well, they had Mark Hamill in it.
Yeah, but the movie was really horrible as well, if you don't recall.
Yeah, with the Kilrathi? The cat people?
I don't remember.
I remember them as Kilrathi.
It just really sucked.
I wanted to like it.
John said that he'll take Iron Man. At least then I'd be rich and you never hear about Iron Man's family getting kidnapped.
How would you hear about him cheating on your mom?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, about the syphilis. But anyways, personally, I put down, I'll take the guy driving the car in Spy Hunter.
Well, last week I said Senior Snake.
I put down Spy Hunter because I said he can buy me a sweet-ass car bed.
Nice.
Yeah, so. Nerd win. Okay. Let's see what you got here. Do you want to read yours?
I can't see it.
Okay. Justin put down, what Vig Gang character would you not mind having as a stepfather, a.k.a., which that's kind of odd, you used to also known as, but anyway.
Or,
when you were a kid, you wouldn't. Who wouldn't you mind banging your mom and taking you to ball games? Okay. You actually had somebody like your post. So I didn't have that. Okay. Anyway, Brian Miller put down Duke Nukem.
Brian would put that. But that's really an interesting choice because, and I talked to him about this later. I was like, so, Brian, Duke Nukem. He's like, well, yeah. I was like, why? He's like, he likes chicks and he's saving the world, man. He's like, he'd be the perfect dad. The
guy gets blowjobs while he shoots people.
I know.
I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. Anyways, Scott put down Master Chief, of course. I could see him being coddled by Master Chief.
Held in his big, strong arms.
Yeah. He put down, then he put down, I want him as my uncle. Uncle Master Chief. Okay. Your friend Vignu, Savadas, put down his Mass Effect character. Dude's such a nice guy. Also, my mom did make him, and he looks super Indian, so I'm sure she wouldn't mind. God. That's kind of awkward playing a character your mom designed as her dream hunk. So, anyway, Scott put down stepdad. He posted again. He said, not Leisure Suit Larry. Mario would be lame. Alan Wake, no. Screw it. I'll have to take Sergeant Johnson as my stepdad. He knows what the ladies like. Okay, Jesus Christ. Okay, Scott. Anyway, Justin, you put down, speaking of Duke, here's a vid. Never mind, that's just a link. Dave put down Harry Mason, the first incarnation.
The first incarnation,
yes,
of Silent Hill.
Which I would agree with, because the second version of him in Shattered Memories is a total fucking pussy. So.
Yeah, but he was a really strong character, though, in the first one, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well,
He was after, it was his wife that he was going after?
No, his kid, Cheryl.
Was it his kid? Oh, yeah, yeah, and then he finds his kid, right?
Sort of. Yeah, his wife was dead. Anyway, and you put down Dave, that's just creepy.
Well, you don't have to read all my responses.
I am.
Skip down to the end.
I am. Anyways, let's see. You actually commemorated Big by saying there needs to be more Indian protagonists. Indian Shepherd has got to be interesting. Okay. Anyway. And he said, dude, looks really Indian, and yeah, not enough Asian heroes outside of the Jap games out there. I feel awkward using the term Jap, you know, because they summarize Japanese into Jap. It just feels like evil slang. Anyways, Andy, oh my God, surprised he didn't put down Goda, but I wouldn't mind Donkey Kong. At least he doesn't speak English and can punch someone in the face when they pick on me. But banging my mom, I guess we'll have a little ape in us. Sorry, we all have a little ape in us. That's crazy.
It's kind of awkward.
Andy is awkward.
He's entertaining.
He's very awkward. I wonder if Andrew and Holly, did they post anything for it?
They
or?
Did, but it might be a search.
No, it wouldn't be because I can just pull it up right here. Let's see. Listen to the Tillcast. Yes, I see that. He just did his dad's taxes. Okay. His car is completely buried. Baseball season. Okay. Documentary about LARPing. He didn't post. Andrew, you're a fucking loser. He's always gone on about, you know, posting this shit, and then he doesn't fucking do it. Wow. And then Holly's talking about Dead Space. She's loving Dead Space.
Still loving Dead Space.
She feels like calling a pizza because of the snow and being an asshole. Okay. Okay, good.
You don't have
good.
To read all their personal stuff.
No, I'm just trying to find it. You know,
Crickets.
I just really don't think she actually posted anything. I think she went the way of Andrew. So, yeah. Total fucking shit. Yeah. Okay, well, they failed.
Well, they can redeem themselves next week.
No, they can't. They're dead to me now. So, anyways. So what's the topic for next week?
Now you're going to pin it on me. I always thought so long about this.
Did you? Did you actually write anything down?
I was thinking about it.
You were thinking about writing stuff down. We're usually the organized ones too, and
well,
that's kind of the crazy thing. It's usually us who organize everything. So let's see. I got an idea. No, that won't work. That won't work. I was going to say if anybody out there has modded their Xbox to send us some pictures. But I don't. Actually, just in general, if you've modded your Xbox out, the case, send us some pictures. We'll post them on our forum, post them on the website. That'd be kind of nice.
It'd be something kind of random, but yeah. I don't think it would work for
a query. No, that's why I just said it wouldn't work for a query. So let's see.
I got an idea.
Okay.
What is.
Tell me.
Tell me. What is your. The highest point you ever had in a video game. So, like,
when you're playing. Oh, that's so hard, man.
I know. That's going to make people think. So, when you're playing a game, what is the moment that just grabbed you and said, man, I'm just in love with this game?
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant, like, their highest points. Like.
Well, no.
Points earned. Sorry.
No. What's like, the point where you had an epiphany in a game? Like, when you're playing it, you're just like, that really grabbed me.
This is really deep.
It is so. Kind of deep. So
I know mine.
Yeah, was it? What's
yours? I'll give mine. One of the best moments in a video game is where, what's his name? Fucking big badass from Halo Reach picks you up and throws you through the containment field on the Covenant ship.
Yeah,
back to Earth, so that he can stay behind and blow up the Covenant.
So is that an epiphany or just the most Corvette. Epic moment?
There's just a point where I was like, dude, I love this game. The fact that everybody's going to die. I love this game. So, yeah, that was my point.
You know what mine was? It was Mass Effect 2.
Oh, my God. He's going to start crying.
Yeah, I'm going to start crying. No, not really. One of the...
Game! No, go ahead.
But one of the coolest moments...
I can't look at you in the eye right now.
No, I got the sparkle.
A little twinkle moment.
Ding.
All right, go ahead.
When you're playing Mass Effect 2 at the beginning of the game, and you're going back to save Joker.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ship blows... You throw him in the escape pod, and then the ship blows
up. You hit the switch.
And then you're drifting in space.
And you start suffocating.
Yeah.
Pretty epic scene.
It was a really... gripping scene. It really was. And I've never been like, it didn't move me, but I was just like, this feels like a movie. You know what I mean? Like, you were just, like, you cared about your character. Like,
Well, yeah, you imported the motherfucker over from Mass Effect 1. You spent, like, 35 hours with him before.
I'm just like,
and now you're like, dude,
what's going to happen
he's
now?
He's dying. My guy's dying.
I'm 10 minutes into this fucking game. What's going to happen now?
You're like, oh, fuck me. Did I have to start over? I just imported this guy. It told me that when I imported over a rich character, I was going to get this and this, and now he's dead. And then you're like, oh, never mind. I still get that. Okay, good.
But then you start, you're just drifting in space. Yeah. And it's just like, holy crap. This feels like... Man, nerdgasm about to happen here.
Actually, one thing that was bugging me...
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
There's an episode of BSG. Mm. One of the main characters gets ejected.
Oh my god, damn it.
And he starts having a flashback about, like, everything in life. And he's just in space, like, about to die because he's suffocating, just, like, floating around in space. And that's what it reminded me of. And I was like, that's pretty epic.
Okay. Pretty epic. One thing that always bothered me is that the horizon of the Earth, of the planet, I mean... is coming from the left of the screen down in the middle, and then the logo pops up, and they have the horizon
going the other way.
Logo, and I always wish they would have actually just had it
as part of the horizon.
Yeah, as part of the horizon, actually swap the planet around so you're landing on it, so it's dead space off to the fucking left. No, I'm talking about empty space, dead space, just empty space.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then the planet's there on the right side of the screen, so that way it could fit into the logo. When it comes to that, would have been cool. That always bugged me about that entire intro because I have that little. Composition problem, you know, I'm just like, this needs to be this way. So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, that was an epic part of the game. What's even better is when you go to the wreckage of the Normandy and the expansion.
Yeah, it's kind of touching. Well, you're going through all the memoirs.
Well, the best one is Presley, your second in command. Whenever you find his journals and stuff, and he's sitting there talking about his xenophobia, how he can't stand working with all these aliens and crap and all that. And then you get to the last journal, you find he's sitting there talking about how he'd take a bullet for any one of them.
I know,
you know. So you're like, wow, that's really. I never knew he was a racist. Cool. Glad that bigoted
bastard. Well, they
kind of
bring that up.
Dead.
Remember when you have the original alien? I can't remember what he was called. The Arbiter. Not Arbiter.
Oh, Harbinger. No, Harbinger was in the first one.
No, but in the first one, remember, you bring the alien on the board with you, and nobody really wants to work with him.
Oh, you're talking about the Turian, Garrus.
Yeah, the Turian, yeah.
Yeah.
So you bring the Turian, and everybody's, like, giving him a dirty look.
Oh, yeah.
And so they kind of harp on that whole xenophobia.
Now, this one,
thing.
You can fuck him if you want.
I'm sure there's a lot of people doing that.
I still need to actually play as a female character just to see... I don't think you actually fuck him. I think it's just it's a romance of blossoms. I don't know.
Oh, you know, to throw another point out there. So there's some empty achievements sitting in my Dragon Age game, and I just feel weird fucking the male dudes with my female character because there's an achievement for that, and they're just sitting empty. It feels too weird.
Watch a man up and do it.
Man up,
yeah,
huh?
Just man up and
man
do
up.
It. Yeah.
Take it like
well,
a,
it's like with Saboteur. Like there's an achievement for kissing 50 women. And you
so it's a little easier to do.
Well, no, the only way you can... No, it's not easy. Because the only way you can kiss 50 women is if you go off and you set off 50 fucking alarms and have Nazis chasing you 50 different times.
That's not
and you locate a chick in all of Paris. You have to locate one chick on a corner you can run up to and start kissing really quick. You know how hard that is?
Okay, that's hard, but that's not awkward.
Yeah. I still don't even have the chain smoking achievement where you just sit around. And I've left that game going long enough for me to run to Walgreens and come back, and I still don't have it. Because you just sit there and you smoke while you don't move around and you keep putting cigarettes out. And I was gone like 20 minutes. It still didn't give it to me. I don't know why. So, piece of shit.
It's an odd achievement. But
broken game.
Well, it's those romance options you have with the male characters. I'm just kind of like...
Yeah, it's kind of like let them do a Danish... let them do a Dutch blindfold on
like
you.
Like, I would feel a little bit better... Like if I just had a female friend of mine come in and play the game for those achievements for me.
Do you know what a Dutch blindfold is?
Maybe I don't want to know.
It's where I lay you down and I lay my nuts across your eyes like a blindfold.
Oh, Jesus.
There's an achievement for that.
Boop.
Yeah. It's like, bing. Yeah. Dutch blindfold. Yeah, the achievement's called pink eye. So, yeah.
Your face smells like Yoda.
your face smells like Yoda. So... I know, I always imagine Yoda smelled like a really dirty swamp. Like, just really moldy and algae-ridden. Because Dagobah doesn't look like a very pine salt planet.
I'd want to be changing my underwear about every 2 hours.
Yeah, leeches and all kinds of stuff. And just your pants just soak through with just nasty humidity.
Oh, man.
Dagobah does not wipe off of you once you get back. It takes like a week or so to air out. So, It's pretty bad. Tatooine's pretty nice, though. I mean, it's doesn't really smell like anything except for poverty. Lots and lots of poverty.
Or Turley.
Or Turley, yeah. Smells like Twi'lek poontang everywhere on Tatooine. Sorry, on Tatooine. So. Sorry.
We got anything else?
No, not really. We are done.
We should probably end this.
Yes, this is getting a little fucked up. Anyways, but actually, I was talking to somebody about Disneyland, and we were talking about... I made this observation. I was like, I know nobody who has gone to Disneyland and banged one of the chicks there that's dressed up like, say, you know, Snow White or Sleeping Beauty. And I was like, that's got to be one of those coveted things.
You get an achievement for that.
Yeah, it's like, but here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. I was even talking to her about this. I was just like, when you recall the story years later, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, I used to bang this chick named Carla that played, you know, Sleeping Beauty. No, you're going to say, I banged Sleeping Beauty. The girl's name doesn't exist anymore. Just the character she played. And then I thought, is it really awkward to have sex with the chick that's in the Goofy outfit if she keeps the helmet on, the hat on?
Especially if she turns it around backwards.
Yeah. So it's staring at you, rocking back. I was like, even worse, though. Is it bad enough I want to... Is it bad enough I want to choke Pluto as I climax to intensify my own pleasure?
We're going down a path.
You just imagine strangling the chick with a Pluto hat on and just going at it. Yeah. It's almost like the Seinfeld episode where George goes to the fairgrounds, and there's this person wearing a giant ice cream cone outfit, and they're really nice to him, and he thinks it's a chick. He just constantly thinks it's a chick, and he, like, falls in love with this girl.
In the ice cream cone outfit?
In the ice cream cone outfit, without even knowing if it's a chick or not. He just keeps thinking about it. He has these, like, fantasies about them walking along together in the ice cream cone outfit and all that. And I was just like, it's kind of like that, you know? Is it really gay if they have the outfit on and you don't know, you know? Is it? It's almost like the glory hole.
You know what they call those people?
What's that?
Furry lovers.
Furry lovers. But there's really no fur on her. She's an ice cream cone, you know? There's really no fur on her. But yeah, it's like the glory hole, you know? It's just like, yeah. It's not gay if you're out of the glory hole. If you're in the glory hole, then it's, yeah, if you're in the box.
I don't have a comment.
Do you have one? No. She doesn't have one.
We should end this podcast.
Yeah, let's end this. Okay. So we hope that brought a smile to your kangaroo faces out there.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to sign out with that.
Yeah. So next week we'll be back on track with a regular episode with some, what do we got? Probably some Bionic Commando review or something like that. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, man. So just make sure you come back next week. And
hear some more crazy shit.
This is our Blizzard blooper episode. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
It's just us fucking around. So for 2 hours, we actually pulled out. I thought it was only going to be an hour long. Anyway, so we'll catch you next week. This is Trent.
And Justin.
And have a good night.